Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from the WWE. And you're listening to my very dear, close, personal friends, JJ and Trick. I bet those names are right. Yeah, I believe they do. Right here on Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
One, two, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the
three-time
wrestling radio show of the year, Wrestling News Live.
Oh, it's true! It's true!
With the bad boys of wrestling radio, the Trey Dog.
Got his own microphone, Tony. Larry, Mike.
And JJ.
All caps.
Sexy.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
And the winner of the People's Choice Award is...
Wrestling News Live. Here are your hosts, the Trey Dog and JJ Sexay.
All right, good evening, guys. Welcome to another edition of Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network. I am Mr. Money on the mic. JJ, all caps, sexy. And what an interesting night. Well, what an interesting 48 hours we've had, 24 hours in professional wrestling, stemming from the aftermath. That is the TNA Victory Road pay-per-view. We're going to cover that in just a little bit. I want to get everybody's thoughts on what you thought of that sham of a main event. As most of you know, I boycotted TNA yesterday, did not even perform the hosting duties on my longtime show, Sunday Night Showdown. It was the first time in 4 years of that show's history that I have not hosted that show. Some people would say this would be called Vindication News Live tonight. Some people would be correct. I did call it. I called it out back at Final Resolution when it happened between Jeff Hardy. Sometimes it sucks to be right, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes it sucks to be right. But we do have a jam-packed show here momentarily. I'm going to be bringing Road Warrior Animal on the line. We're going to talk about his new book. The Trey Dog will be joining us, I'm assuming, here in the very near future. He apparently got called into work tonight. So it's just been an interesting day all around. Trey and I had an opportunity today to sit down and have an interview with one Scott Hall this afternoon. And we are actually going to be airing that interview next week on Wrestling News Live. He wanted to air it tonight, but I don't want a four-hour show tonight. So we will, in fact, air that interview next week on the program. But tonight we do, in fact, have Road Warrior Animal, who will be joining us in mere moments here, ladies and gentlemen.
What a rush!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the phone line, one of the most recognized name in professional wrestling, one of the, if not the most arguably, dominant tag team in the history of professional wrestling. I have on the line with me right now, Joe Animal Laurinaitis. Joe, what's going on tonight?
How you doing, man? What's up?
Not much, man. Glad to have you on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I heard that music there, and I almost started running around my living room. Not ready to pound through some walls or something.
did it make you want to start throwing your couch around?
Trust me.
Sorry, what was that, Trey?
I said, don't do that. The cops will show up. Trust me.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, it won't be the first time.
So tell us about the book.
Well, you know, I waited about 7-8 years to write the book. You know, just wanted to let pretty much, there was a few garbage books that were let out by guys that, you know, I just wanted to let the smoke clear a little bit. And I wanted to put out a quality book, you know, kind of like a chronological timeline of my career. That's why I started off the book with, you know, Paul Ellering's intro to it, his forward, and then right away, you know, tag team title match with the Nasty Boys in Madison Square Garden, which I thought was a fitting end because, you know, that was one of the last of the big titles that we went after, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And told some pretty good stories and, you know, had fun writing it, brought back a lot of great memories of both here in Japan and over in Europe and, you know, everywhere I've gotten the privilege to go wrestle and some of the great fans I've had that, you know, A lot of the most frequent questions I got asked when I was on the road is, what was it like riding with this guy? What was it like wrestling this the war games? What was it like, you know, how did you decide to match? Who decided to match? And, you know, so I just kind of open up and I let it all hang out, you know.
Absolutely. So I guess one of the big questions that I had for you, as far as your run, obviously you guys had a pretty good run in Japan as well. What are your thoughts right now on the situation in Japan? Have you got any friends over there now that are telling you what's going on?
Nah, man. I would imagine now the whole country is mourning after that tsunami that has hit. You know.
Yeah.
But as far as the state of the wrestling business over there, man, I think it's in disarray. You know, it went much like, you know, the U.S. It had 1, 2, maybe 3 big huge companies. Now it's got, you know, like 10 small companies or 20 small companies. It's everybody, you know, and a brother wants to be a promoter and everything over there. So, you know, of course, you know, the real money, unfortunately, for that country is the Americans against the Japanese. But unfortunately for the U.S., there's very few attraction Americans that go over there to be able to work that kind of style. And, you know, WWE or TNA is not going to let them go over there and wrestle and leave their companies hanging. So it's a little bit of disarray over there right now.
No, true that. True that. Our hearts definitely go out to the people of Japan because they've been hit one thing after another since, what, about Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
No, yeah, man. And there are some people around. It's our country could actually learn a lot about humility to the human spirit from that country, man. They're great people.
Absolutely. So when you and Hawk initially got together as the Road Warriors, how did that all come about?
Well, you know, people remember, and I tell it in the book, you know, I actually went down there as a Road Warrior by myself the first time. Did my TV match, and then there was some a buyout deal going on that I got sent to the Carolinas, and then, you know, didn't have a good time there working for Jim Crockett and basically starved for 3 months. You know, lost about 50 pounds of body weight, which really pissed me off because it's a long time to build it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And came home, regrouped, and then, you know, Ole Anderson called me and said, I'll bring it back. And I pretty much told him to go F off, you know? And then I said, all right, I'll give you another chance. And that's when he saw a picture of Hawk, and he thought it was me. And he says, I just got an idea. I'll bring him as my Road Warriors. And perfect timing, you know, Matt Bourne got a little bit of trouble. He and I were tag teams, got a little bit of trouble, and opened the door for Hawk and I. Got the TBS and we got the belts, you know, and as you can imagine being a kid watching the show as a fan, you know, I hear I am going to the locker room, I walk into Roddy Piper, Tommy Wildfire Rich, Dusty Rhodes, Stan Hansen, there's, you know, Teal Santana, Sergeant Slaughter, all in the locker room, and I'm going, holy geez, man, I get in there and, you know, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, we got the titles. I said, this is great, you know. It was the right place at the right time, and, you know, we just happened to be the guys there, got the opportunity, and ran with it.
I'm getting a question in the chat room right now wanting to know about the Skywalkers match that you had at Starrcade.
Well, it was probably one of the most difficult matches of my career. Anytime you're up on a 3-foot-wide, 30-foot-high scaffolding, you know, it's not very sturdy, man, and you know, and that particular match, you know, Hawk had broken his leg the week before in Japan. And we cut his cast off. We taped up the leg to go up there and wrestle that Skywalkers match. And again, it's Midnight Express. And it was brutal. It was a brutal match. But we got through it. You know, Bobby Bean and Dennis Condry are two of the best, you know. And so we made it through the match fine.
You know, it's funny. Like, when you think about the life of professional wrestling, what you go through on the mat, in the ring, to add a scaffold above the ring, and like you said, it's a very you know, small amount of space on that scaffold. That just, it blows me away that that match would even have ever happened.
It's crazy. Well, you know, we had no problem when, you know, like the Crockett's or their crew set it up themselves, but when you get to a lot of these arenas, you can't do that because they're all unionized. So the union crew sets it up, and they're just setting it up like the guys going up there to paint. You know, they're not setting it up and bolting it down and setting cables everywhere else. And, you know, I was 315 at the time. Hawk was about 270, and then you had Bobby Eaton and Dennis Condrey up there. I mean, heck, man, you know, there's, you know, 1,200 pounds of guy up there, 1,500 pounds of guy, and, you know, it got to be a little bit nuts, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, not the most fun place to be, and I've done about 150 of them, too, so I'm not really too thrilled about
it. I got a question for you. Do you still keep up with the product today at all?
What's that?
Did you still keep up with wrestling today at all?
Oh, I could. I mean, I could do it easily. I just don't, you know, I haven't found the right opportunity for me to come back, do anything, or, you know, what, you know, it hasn't been the right time. And I coached for a little while down at FCW, which I found, I love doing that. I didn't mind doing that at all, you know. But I'm in good enough shape, you know. I'm weighing about 265, 268 right now. You know, I'm not 300 pounds. I'm saying, hey, I had to lose it. There's no reason to keep that heavy. I wasn't, you know, not powerlifting anymore. Just looking to keep your shape. And, you know, I feel pretty good.
Do
a lot of speaking engagements now. I just got done doing a Buckeye Cruise for Cancer with Chris Spielman and that, you know. So, I mean, I do a lot of charity stuff, you know. So.
Absolutely. So, I think what Trey was trying to ask you is, do you keep up with the product now?
Oh, sorry, man. I couldn't hear you. Got muffled there. You know, I do somewhat, you know. To be honest with you, it really doesn't interest me that much. And probably because of the fact that there's no tag teams involved.
Right.
There's not a lot of guys from my era working in the back office like there should be. You know, because, I mean, guys like myself, for instance, and a guy like Flair, with guys that work main event matches their whole career, should be in the back office running this program, you know, in some aspect, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, because, you know, you don't get to be a top guy and work that long. And for no reason, you know. So,
you know, I think that's one of the major things that we talk about here a lot on the show is that there's just that lack of tag team cohesion in the WWE. It just seems like on any given week, you might see two mid-card guys or two main event guys thrust into a tag team. You know, you don't have guys coming up in the business starting off in tag team wrestling and then progressing, you know, a la Shawn Michaels from the Rockers or... it's just kind of, it bothers me, especially when you have a team like the Hart Dynasty that they had a brief run with. They've split them up. That seems to be the thing to do in the company now. It's after they've been together for about 6 months, split them up and, you know, put the tag titles on two mid-card guys.
Well, you know, I don't know why that is. I think that that may be the fact that they're a publicly traded company and they're trying to keep constant interest going on, which I think sometimes it has a reverse effect. I think people get bored with the, you know, all of a sudden now it's changed. But again, like you said, like the Hart Dynasty, you know, I don't know. They could have taken that and done a lot with that whole Hart Dynasty, especially with Brett involved, you know, and everything at the time. You know, and they didn't do it. And, you know, that's probably, I mean, you're right. You can't just take a main event guy, and I'll argue that to the day I die. You just cannot take two main event guys and make them a tag team. It's just not going to be cohesive. They worked the first time just out of the novelty. But try to work a program with it, you just won't be able to do it.
Absolutely.
You know, one guy's going to be worried about getting his stuff in, and the other guy's going to be worried about getting his stuff in. And where when you're a team from the beginning, you learn how to cohesive as a team, to give and take. One guy is going to be the guy that gets crap kicked out of him for a month, and the other guy's going to be the guy that makes the hero comeback, and then vice versa the next month. And it's just give and take more.
Now, I guess one of the other questions that I wanted to kind of bring up, the first WrestleMania that you guys were a part of, I believe you took on the Nasty Boys for the Tag Team Championship. How was that going into your
Madison
first WrestleMania?
Garden.
Yeah, Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that was the one. I started off the book with that match, you know. That was probably one of the best and most energized matches I've ever been in. And in fact, it was the crowd that made that match. Not only the spectacle of WrestleMania and everything else, But the fact that Madison Square Garden was electric, and it was like, you know, one of those places that you just are waiting your whole career to get to, and you finally get there, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It was a pretty cool situation.
Now, as far as some of your favorite teams to work, whether it was the NWA or WWE or even Japan, who would you rate as one of the top teams for you and Hawk?
Well, you know, a team like, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard was two great ones. Bob Eaton and Dennis Condrey was probably the second team we were real close up to the top. Those were the two top teams that worked our gimmick perfectly. It's not that we didn't have good matches with everybody else. You know, we did with Mike Rotunda and Steve Williams, we had great matches, or Mike Rotunda and Ted DiBiase, we had great matches, or even Earthquake and Typhoon, we had great matches. But the easiest matches were to work with against the Express and the Horsemen.
Hey, I would say to tell your son, thank you for helping out my fantasy football team this year.
Oh, yeah, you got the Rams, huh?
Yeah, we had defensive players, and so, you know, I took your kid because I thought he'd do a hell of a job, and he scored me a lot of points this year. I was actually impressed.
Oh, well, thanks, man. Yeah, the kid can play a game, you know. He can play the ball game pretty well, so he'll be all right. He's got probably 10, 12 years left, you know.
I'm a Chiefs fan, but being an Oklahoma Sooner, I had to adopt you guys because you got my boy Bradford up there now. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, Sam's doing real well, man. I mean, Sam, unfortunately, we got this stupid lockout, and then he's got a new old coordinator next year, so he's got to learn a whole system, you know, within 2 weeks of getting there when he finally gets there. But, I mean, you know, but hey, a lot of guys are going to be in the same boat this year, and, you know, Sam, he grew by leaps and bounds this year. You know, he did a good job.
Now, getting back to your book, I just want to ask you, is this something that, you know, I write a lot of times and think that someday down the road I want to, you know, tell stories about a lot of things that we did during this show, you know, and guests and what we went through at different times. And, you know, so I write things down and I keep them. But with the book, of course, over the span of your career, I'm guessing you didn't just keep little cliff notes around and you threw all together in a book. Did you just have to sit down and block out a period of time and say, okay, in this amount of time, I'm going to write my book and tell my story? Or how did it all work out?
Well, I had a guy that I was doing personal appearances with who ended up being my ghostwriter that he has been a fan since he was about 10 years old. So it made it easy in that aspect because he was a diehard Road Warrior fan. I mean, he knew and read everything about me. And then now you got to remember, we're in the age of YouTube and everything else. I had a guy that had DVDs or discs of every match I possibly did, whether in Japan, in Europe, or here. I mean, it was about 50 discs big. Yeah, man. And I don't know how he did it, but he did it every match and every interview and promo. And so, you know, we got to a certain time period, you know, Andrew would burn these discs or send me a couple emails, say, hey, look at this number 1, 2, 3, and we'll watch it and we'll talk over and we'll do kind of synopsis on the show, on the time period, you know. And of course, a lot of stuff is, you know, it's like yesterday. It like triggers a memory of something happening, you know.
Right.
They'll say something about Terry Gordy in Japan, and I'll remember, well, I remember when, you know, Terry Gordy and Hawk are drunk, and Terry, you know, one day could pee in the bar, and, you know, Hawk is stuffing his Johnson back in his pants for him. You know what I mean? Stupid things that you just don't think you're going to. You're not going to remember. Like, you remember them because there's so freaking many of them. And the times we spent over there, every minute meant something, you know? Like one of the stories I tell, you know, player yells at me, animal, 3-point stance. And I bust down Terry Funk's door in Japan. You know, I mean, I just certain things you knew and you remember, and it just sticks with you the rest of your life. It was pretty cool.
I bet you've got quite a bit of wild stories back in the day.
Oh, yeah. You know, I kept everything tame for this book and, you know, left my doors open if in case there's another one in the works somewhere, you know, sometime, which there very could be. I mean, I could do a tell-all big one for a second one if I wanted to, or a third one even. I mean, we only put in about a third of the stories, and there are a whole bunch more that could be great stories, too. And but, you know, hey, it was it served its purpose, and it's not short in this book. This book is phenomenal, man. You guys seen the book, right? I mean, you seen the cover on it, and Medallion Press spared no money on making a very nice book, especially the hardcover version of it. You take the paper off, man, and that engraved face paint of mine and the black book and that bright red color, it's just freaking amazing, you know, which it costs a lot of money to do that kind of stuff. It's a little detail that Medallion did that. The president of operation and myself got together, and he knew the standard of which I wanted the book. I said, listen, this cannot be a cheaply done, low-budget book. It's got to be top-notch and one of the best-looking books on the market, and they made the best-looking wrestling book ever made. I mean, to my knowledge, it is. You look at it, you're going, holy crap, even if you don't know the wrestling business or what it is, you've seen the Road Warrior sometime, whether it's a People magazine or a Forbes or a Sports Illustrated or USA Today, something, you've seen our picture somewhere. And that's the kind of grasping I wanted. If you walk through the airport and you see it, or Barnes & Noble and you see it, that's the kind of impact I wanted to make, you know.
Absolutely. Well,
you don't know who you guys are or what you are. You see that book on a bookshelf, and you're gonna, as a man, you're gonna gravitate towards that. I guarantee it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just one of those reads, and you know, and I kept it language wise clean. That young people could read it, and you know, there's a lot of dads out there that have introduced their kids to wrestling that they could, hey buddy, sit down here, man. I want to read the story to you about the Road Warriors when they're in Japan, or when they wrestled the Nasty Boys, or you know, when they wrestled Sting and Luger, or something like that. You know what I mean? It's pretty easy that way too.
If you guys are just tuning in, we're talking to Joe Animal Laurinaitis, one half of the Road Warriors, right here on Wrestling News Live. I'm getting a question in from one of my colleagues here on this network, Mark the Shark DiCarlo. He wants to know how was it getting trained by Eddie Sharkey in Minneapolis.
Well, you know, we all met Ed in a bar called Grandma B's here in Minneapolis. Hawk, myself, Rick Rude, and Scott Norton, we all were bouncing at the same bar, and Barry Darso, we were all bouncing at the same bar.
God damn.
And he goes, well, you know, I trained Jesse the Body Ventura. He goes, I'm going to open another camp. You guys interested? And like, you know, like most people back then that heard of wrestling, you kind of were, oh, no, man, you got to be kidding. You don't want to be wrestlers, you know? But we saw what he did for Jesse. We said, well, let's give it a shot. And Ed saw something. I got to give Ed credit, man. He saw something in all of us, because every one of us that went through his camp made it from that camp. You know, from Demolition to the Road Warriors to, you know, actually even Nikita Koloff, who sat there with a broken leg and watched his camp, he made it to, Norton was with the NWO and then, you know, wrestled in Japan. So a lot
What's
of
he doing now?
Guys came out of that. Who's that?
Any idea what Norton's doing now?
Nah, man. I hear he's down in Atlanta somewhere, living down there or something.
That was one underused guy in WCW.
Oh, man. Hey, I trained with Norton when he became world arm wrestling champion. Beat Cleve Dean, and he was one strong SOB.
Oh, yeah. But with that group of guys bouncing the bar, don't you think that's a little overkill?
No.
What kind of bar were you in, man?
Well, downtown Minneapolis, it was a strip bar in the day and then a rock and roll bar and a country bar at night. It was two floors, and it probably held about 5,000 people, and you only had five guys.
Well, that's why you had five guys.
Yeah, and we didn't need any more than that. That was plenty.
Yeah.
You know. Once you set the tone, people know what they can get away with and what they can't, you know.
All right.
Yeah, that's one hell of a bar to get thrown out of. Jeez.
Yeah, I just got thrown out of the bar by Animal.
Well, that's how I got hired. I was grabbing some guy out by the pant loops and by the back of his neck, and I threw him out. He landed on Ole Anderson's feet, and Ole was at the time the booker and promoter of Georgia Championship Wrestling. And, you know, we had the strip bar outside the bar. We watched how many flips the guy was, about knee high. If they flip over the wire, if they trip over backwards, we'd raid them, you know. And that's just something to kill time with when you, you know. You're at a bar killing time. Just punching the clock, you know.
Now, going back to some of your career highlights, back in 1992, you had the opportunity to wrestle in Wembley Stadium for SummerSlam, and one of the my opinion, one of the greatest wrestling entrances of all time. You and Hawk coming down the rampway on those motorcycles in front of a record crowd in Wembley Stadium. What was that like for you?
You know, the single most electrifying, badass entrance that I've ever been a part of. As soon as they played, you know, the and it was a nice, long, what a rush. It was so deafening. Now, you got to understand the way the British people in the UK, they cheer. If you ever listen to Wembley Stadium soccer game, they have these horns, and they toot them, and they go, dun, 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 dun. And after they're done tooting at them, those beats are that, they all chant in unison, L-O-D. And they were chanting that so loud, we couldn't hear the Harleys. We didn't know if they were running. All we know, they were rolling for some reason. We couldn't tell if they were running. We couldn't hear our music. It was so definitely loud. And then when we got off of them and stepped in the ring and just looked around, the people went through the roof. I mean, you don't got to understand. We set it up that the first time we were there, we went to Royal Albert Hall, which is a very prestigious, you know, history building there where the Prince, the Queen's got her own box seats and everything in it. And that's where The Undertaker's Phantom of the Opera music first played. And then all of a sudden we go the next time and we're there in Wembley Stadium, which is historic for world soccer tournaments and, you know, rugby and cricket and all sorts of other sports, right? And even have American football games played there, you know. But, man, to go there and be the first big, huge outdoor event in that building, we set a world record in that building that day. They've never had 90,000 people in that building, you know, especially outdoors. Was extremely incredible, man. It was just deafening.
Now, you know, I go back and watch the 92 SummerSlam on occasion. That's one of my favorite. Obviously, the tag match you had with Money, Inc., I'm a big fan, obviously, of the Bret the Hitman Hart and Davey Boy Smith match for the Intercontinental Championship. But, you know, every time I've watched that and I watch that entrance, I mean, you guys are just, that's just awesome. You guys just letting the throttle go.
You know, if you think about it, if they would have let it go where the match was supposed to go, we were supposed to be the match right before Bret and Davey. And it's almost better we went where we went, because if we would have been, it would have took away from Bret and Davey's match. The entrance would. You know what I mean? I mean, our entrance was so freaking electrifying, they're going to say, even Davey being British, it's really going to be hard to follow the Warriors' entrance.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Being that Hawk was so messed up and drugged out that day, it was an easy call. Vince saw him and said, okay, now you're going to first match. And which, a great way to open up the show. I mean, you know, we didn't have our best match with Money, Inc., because, you know, Hawk was impaired a little bit, but, I mean, it worked out, you know. We ended up getting the job done the right way we should have. You know, we would have loved it done the Doomsday and made everybody happy and go crazy, but in fear of my partner falling off the top rope and breaking his neck, we didn't do it.
Yeah, no doubt. So, is there any tag teams out there that you would have liked to have worked that you never got a chance to?
Yeah, I think we've worked with most of the top tag teams, you know. I probably would have liked to work more matches with, you know, Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty when they were the Rockers, or, you know, that's probably, I mean, that one time, I probably would have liked to work with David Von Erich and Kerry before David passed away. David had died right when we got into the business, but other than that, I mean, we really pretty much worked with every top tag team that was well known, like the Rougeaus and, you know, the Bulldogs. You know, I wish I would have liked to work a deal with the British Bulldogs, to be quite honest with you. And the Hart Foundation. We only worked a one Coliseum video match with them, and we had a great match against Bret and Jim, you know, so that would have been a good deal to do.
No, absolutely.
It's funny that you tell that story, you know, about putting you on first because your partner was a little inebriated. And they're saying in the chat room, we've had this conversation recently because of one Jeff Hardy down in TNA right now. And I guess either myself or my partner made the comment that we didn't think Vince would ever send anybody to the ring that he thought might be under the influence, and the chat room is now giving a static for saying, well, so much for Vince would have never done that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he wouldn't have done it, but see, here's how that whole thing led to that in over there in London. Hawk and I think Jake and Nord, a lot of guys found out they were getting suspended when they got home because they failed drug tests. So they're overseas, they're thinking, well, might as well party it up while we're here.
Yeah.
And there's no way, because we were one of the main events advertised on a card, that he wasn't going to let us go out there, you know.
Did you happen to see what happened? I mean, I don't know if you watch TNA or keep up with it, but did you see or hear anything about Jeff Hardy last night at the TNA pay-per-view?
I heard it, man, but here's the thing. When I see somebody like that or hear like that, man, I feel bad for them because they need help. They definitely need help. But what I don't want to hear or see, and it could happen very easily, and because Hardy's name's been thrown in the mix, I love Jeff and Matt. Matt wrote a nice thing about in my book and everything else. I mean, I don't want anybody else from our business to die young. You
right.
know?
And, somebody's going to hold Jeff. Somebody needs to get Jeff some help. I said, somebody needs to get a hold of Jeff and get him some help.
Yeah, he needs some help now, man. I wish him all the
luck. I think it's a good thing it's a good thing he was in the ring with such a veteran like Sting. And Sting just did what he did.
I mean, you got two great performers there, and Sting could be able to take care of Jeff. And Jeff's a phenomenal performer in his own right, you know? And, you know, for whatever reason it happened the way it happened, I just hope it's the last we see of that, you know. And this is a business. We are professionals, and whether we like it or not,
right,
we are somebody's role model, and you got to remember that all the time, you know.
Well, you got to feel that way as a friend of the guy and as a member of a fraternity, you know.
Yeah, it is, man. It's a fraternity, and you got to take care of each other out there. That way, when you notice somebody that's impaired out there, you just got to cover it up as best you can. That's all you can do, you know?
Right. True that. I got an opportunity back in 2003 with another radio show to talk to Hawk before he passed. And one of the stories that he brought up on that program was when you guys returned to the WWE, I guess back in 2002, 2003, and you guys were the surprise opponents for, I think, then the tag team champions, Rob Van Dam and Kane. And I think the story went something like the agents in the back or the creative team came up to you guys and said, wow, you guys really know how to pop a crowd.
Well, yeah, and we looked at him like, well, what did you freaking think was going to happen? I don't know. I mean, seriously, I was going to be a smart aleck, but I mean, you know, hey, the last time we were on TV, we had that. And, you know, we kind of just looked at him like we didn't expect anything less. And they got all bent out of shape and hawking that match to him. And here he was, nice enough to offer to do the job for Kane and Van Dam. What should have happened that night, because of the reaction we got, they should have switched to finish right in the middle, and they should have gave us the titles that night.
Yep.
The crowd would have went freaking berserk, and we would have taken the titles. But here we are, in the ring with Kane and Van Dam, and we're getting cheered. There's four baby faces in there, and we're getting cheered the most. And what happened was, you know, after Van Dam went to hit me with that spin kick, and I caught him, and I powerbombed him out of it, you know, a Hawk got caught by Kane, and then one thing, and then Van Dam was finished. Well, I mean, usually it goes black and they go out of the ring right away. Well, they accused my partner of getting up too early and doing it deliberately. And Hawk never did that in 20 years in wrestling business, get up early on somebody's finishing move on purpose. You know, we just know how TVs go, and you can't sit out there all of your life, and you can sell it and go all the way back. And hey, man, it was Road Warrior Hawk after all. You know what I mean? He shouldn't have been like he got shot out of a cannon anyway.
Right.
But I don't know, man. Business is a little temperamental at that time.
Well, you know, I just remember hearing that story, and I thought, how could these guys not know who the Road Warriors are?
Well, it's like the next day. Oh, I suppose you had a lot of, you know what it was? It wasn't so much the guys in the office. It was those young, stupid writers that have no freaking clue who was part of building this business. That's where the problem was. You got some stupid soap opera writer that comes in that doesn't know Jack, and he doesn't know who you are. Are you kidding me? do your homework, son. Go Google it or something. You know, I mean, it's not that hard.
Let me ask you this. When you say that, you know, would you agree that you could have all the talent in the world and the person that does all the writing and puts the pen to paper can sink a ship?
Could sink it in a heartbeat. Could sink it with his own torpedo.
What do you do?
Listen.
What do you do when you've got a case of the company having so much talent and just horrible storylines night after night?
Well, you got to take, listen, if the whole country, you guys, and I mean, I've done 100 different radio shows and TV shows and everything promoting this book. If all you guys are saying the same thing, you don't like the storyline, you don't like this and that, well, not everybody's lying. You know what I mean? Sometimes they got to take heed, take notice. If it freaking waddles and it's got web feet and it's quacking like a duck, pretty much it's a duck.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they got to take notice of that before it gets too late, before the ship sinks too far. And maybe that's what they need to notice. Maybe they need to get some of those, you know, I'm not saying which company, but maybe somebody needs to get the storyline people out of there and switch them up. So we get some creative storyline from guys who have been there and know what it takes to draw that money.
Well, yeah, I think that you mentioned that at the start of the show. I mean, the fact of the matter is we need guys, you know, that are veterans in this business backstage helping along with the creative process. And, you know, aside from Michael Hayes, I don't think we really have that in the WWE.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the thing that needs to be happening, too. The guys that are at backstage say the truth. And that's probably why the reason I'm not backstage is I'll be a yes man, but I'm going to tell you when it's wrong too, and I'll argue with you to what's wrong. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I tell you why it's wrong. Some of these guys back there are just yes man, yes man, yes man, yes man, yes man, and they don't. It's whatever anybody asks. And I'm not saying to be a shit disturber. I'm saying to do what's right. If I'm a boss, I'd rather hear what's right and not like it and then fix it. You know,
right?
Well, it just, it
anyway, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you what's going on down at TNA.
Oh, nobody else can either.
Well, it just seems to me, from what I hear, there's just so much disarray. And I've told a bunch of times that I was going to be brought in there left and right, and I've not even been brought in there yet behind the scenes to help out. So I've kind of given up on that worthless cause. I'm trying to help, you know.
Well, I mean, and like I say, I'm not there right now. I'm not there, so I can't say that this is what's exactly going on. But everybody on the internet and everybody behind the microphone, like myself, seems to blame Vince Russo. Well, Vince Russo's that. If he's the problem, if he is the one guy doing all this, why is it so hard for Dixie not to fire him? Does he have pictures over naked or what?
You know, I don't think that it's one guy's the problem there. Seriously, when you look at the whole product, you look at TNA as a whole. If you've been down to TNA, you'll agree,
right?
That, and it's not just one guy. It's whoever's in the back come up with these collective group decisions. It's the same good old boy club that's been there since conception of TNA.
Yeah.
But what's that tell you?
It's like they take the book. And one guy writes a paragraph and sets it down to go get something to drink. And somebody else that has no idea what the first guy wrote picks it up and continues writing. So it makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, my main point is that it hasn't worked for 5-6 years, and it's not going to work for another 5-6 years. There has to be a change in the guard behind the scenes. I think bringing Eric Bischoff in is a great choice to get it started, but he needs help with some of the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, and he needs somebody to, like myself, I'll be honest with him and tell him, Eric, you need to change some stuff up here, man. You just need to change some stuff up. You need to get some fresh ideas, some different ideas.
Different,
and
please.
It needs to change.
Fresh, please.
The ideas that are there are not haven't worked, and they're not going to work ever.
Well,
but they've got the talent. They've got the talent up and down the roster.
They have phenomenal talent. You got the Sting and a Kurt Angle and Scotty Steiner, and you got all the new guys they got there. They're phenomenal athletes too. And you know, they just need to change up, man. So they need to change up a little bit. You got one of the best singles guys around in Jeff Hardy. You know, it's there's got to be more to it than what's going on.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you real quickly, as far as your run in the WWE, I guess it was when you guys were doing the LOD 2000 gimmick. What was the story with the whole Hawk thing? Was that like, I'd heard rumors that was a shot at Sunny because she was released from the company because of substance abuse, and they were kind of portraying Hawk in a negative light. Is there any truth to that?
Well, when we came back at first, the LOD 2000, Sunny didn't have the problem yet, okay? We were just coming off a drug suspension.
Okay.
It was like getting hit with a freaking baseball bat in the teeth for me. I mean, here we just came off of 60 days off without pay because of Hawk's deal. Then we come back and Sonny has a problem. I said, are you freaking kidding me? I just came off of 60 days and I'm not taking another 60 off. You know what I mean? And then they went right into that angle with Hawk, you know, coming out. Okay, guys, we're going dark. We want to do this thing. Well, you're drunk all the time and you're messed up. They actually wanted to do it with me and I refused to do it. I said, listen, man, I got parent-teacher conferences to go to. I can't be going to parent-teacher conferences like this with teachers seeing me be like this and my kids seeing me like this and me being a hypocrite and saying, no, I'm not like that, and trying to convince them not, when it is so believable and they're so impressionable. I just didn't want to do it, you know? So Hawk stepped up and says, I'll do it, which I thought was too close to home for him anyway.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the whole thing, man. I just thought it was in poor taste.
Oh, I completely agree. You know, the fact that you had draws coming out, you know, pushing Hawk off the Titantron, I thought it was kind of crazy, and I thought it was, you know, there was no need for it.
Well, bro, it was amazing at the time how everybody in the world could see it was a wrong thing to do and not a great idea, but they just couldn't see it themselves.
Well, I think they were just wanting to push that envelope, you know?
Oh, yeah, and they did, and it got nowhere. So, I mean, you know,
now
it is what it is.
As far as your run in WCW, before the company closed down, probably one of the most infamous nights in professional wrestling history, the night that you were scheduled to be the mystery man who debuted after Sid took that hellacious jump off the top rope and broke his leg.
Yeah.
And I just remember Sid laying there with his leg flopping back and forth, and everybody was waiting for you to make your grand entrance down there. How did that come about, that all that would... I mean, I understand that they were waiting for you to be the mystery partner and everything, but I just felt like that moment took forever to get you down the ramp and get you unmasked, and poor Sid was just sitting there, you know, trying to maintain something with his leg just kind of bent off the other direction.
Well, it wasn't so much it took long to get down there. I mean, I think I got down there okay. It was the fact that as I'm ready to get down there, they said, Sid broke his freaking leg. I said, you got to be freaking shitting me. And then I'm running down there, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do now? I'm supposed to grab Sid, pick him up, and powerbomb him twice. I said, how am I going to powerbomb him when his leg's flopping over my shoulder? I said, that will freaking kill him if I do that.
No shit.
I got in the ring, and Scotty Steiner saying, Scotty's kicking the shit out of Scotty. You got to broke a leg, man. Pick him up and slam him. I said, I can't pick him up and slam him. Do you know what I mean? I said, I can't pick him up and slam him. I said, he's messed up. He broke his freaking leg. Look at him. And saying as he said, you know, he's going to get his big boots on because his leg was like the shape of a letter L down there. And I said, oh, that is so ugly. And so I said, let's just start booting him right now. We start putting the boots to his chest, you know. There's nothing we can do. He about ruined my whole deal. He did ruin the deal. I mean, it ruined my whole big comeback. Was, you know, Hawk was going to come back. We were going to Road Warrior it again and tear up WCW, but we didn't have the chance to do it, you know. And instead, I, you know, pretty much did that, and that was it.
I remember looking back on that, and I was like, oh my God, you know. I mean, Scotty's putting the boots to him, and you're coming down the ring, and I'm like, the guy's leg is broken. What the hell?
Yeah, the only thing I could do was, and I wasn't even supposed to do it, the only thing I could do was take off my mask.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, I would try to save something, you know?
True that. Oh, well, man. That's
anyway,
good stuff.
Anyway, it happens, man. You got to learn to live it and go with the flow, you know?
Yeah, that is true. In professional wrestling, it seems like anything can and will happen at any given time.
Well, you know, you don't have to love what's going on. You don't have to love the ideas. It's up to you as a professional to make that idea work, no matter how bad you think it is. And that's pretty much what we try to do our career over, is show that we are business. And we did do everything we were ever asked in this business. So, I mean, that's one of the legacies I can feel proud of within the book.
Right. Now, when you made your return to the WWE, they teamed you up with Heidenreich, and you guys kind of reformed the Legion of Doom. Any thoughts on that rebirth of the tag team?
Nah, not really. I mean, yeah, I did it as a favor to the company. I really wasn't all keyed up on doing it. My heart was really not into doing it. I did it, you know, I gave Heidenreich a heck of an opportunity, and I could see that was just being totally thrown by the wayside, not appreciated. So it kind of took my heart out of the whole business. See, even when they tried to make me a single, I had no heart left to even really want to do it, you know, nor care to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm in a better frame of mind to wrestle now than I was back then. I mean, I just wasn't more ready to do it. After all the crap I went through, and then to have a guy just disrespect what you're trying to give him 20 years of your career, what we're trying to give Heidenreich, and it didn't seem to appreciate it. He kept showing up late and messed up himself. I just didn't appreciate it.
Well, and he's a guy that didn't obviously stick around afterward either, so.
No, I don't know what he's doing now. I hope he's doing something making money, man. God bless him.
True.
Who looked at the other one and said, hey, let's paint our faces?
Well, between Hawk and I?
Yeah.
Well, Ole Anderson kind of gave us the deal to get it, was paint our faces, you know. Hawk, though, looked at Ole and said, hey, how about an animal cuts his hair in a mohawk and I'll come in and it's double mohawk so we look like we bend over and plug our heads into each other? I said, you have got to be kidding me, you know. So, yeah, that was Hawk's brilliant idea there.
At least you ended up with the better end of the haircut, I think.
Yeah, I ended up with the better end of it, but I'm the bigger rib, too, man. It's only going on 28 years, and I still got the damn thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
you and
at least
T,
I can grow it.
You and Mr. T made the mohawk famous, brother.
Yeah, man, it's still there, too, man.
Now,
I actually shaved it about 3 months ago because I was, you know, with my son down in St. Louis. We're going on a cruise, like I said, Buckeye Cruise for Cancer with Chris Spielman. And I shaved it, and then I let it grow back. Because I had the cruise and I had the book tour coming, and I knew I was going to be doing a lot of stuff around a lot of the guys, so I said, well, I'll do one last hurrah, and I'll grow it back for a year, then I'll cut it off.
I saw a video with you just today, and I can't remember, it was a promotional video where you were in full Road Warrior gear, and you were with, I can't think of this kid's name, Corky from, oh, God. What was the name of that show?
Life Goes On.
Life Goes On.
Oh, is that Medallion Mondays?
Yes, Medallion Mondays. That's what it is.
Yeah, with the Down Syndrome kid, right?
Yes, that was the one.
It was great, man. It's got more hits than any other thing on the Medallion website, that my deal I did with that kid. That kid was one heck of an actor, man. He was great. He had a name called Ponce in the thing. Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was probably over a year ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No, that was cool watching that. I was like, that is awesome. He's totally decked out in his full Road Warrior gear, and Ponce is, you know, shouting like a warrior with you. That's just an awesome video. If you haven't had a chance to check
it
out.
Yeah, he had suspenders on there with Spice on the suspenders.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff. Now, you had mentioned you're doing a lot of promotional stuff. You want to tell us what's going on?
Yeah, man, I'm doing a lot of XM radio, a lot of shows like you guys here. I do a lot of radio. I've done TV. I had some appearances here in Minnesota already. I got the Mall of America, which is famous around the world. I got that this Thursday, March 17th, coming up at 6 p.m. And then I head on down to, at the end of March, I'm in Chicago for a while. And then I got some appearances around WrestleMania down there in Atlanta. I think I'm doing a fan fest for the company. And then, because I'm part of the Legends program, and then I'm doing a couple Barnes & Nobles. Then I come back. I got something in Philly the 9th. I got an appearance in Philly the 9th. It's actually Jersey. We're flying into Philly. And then, after that, the 10th through the 17th, I'm in Chicago the whole week. and you know, staying there and doing Barnes and Noble. I'm doing the Hollywood Films Festival there, and I'm doing Barnes and Nobles and all sorts of stuff. And then I'm doing, let me see, in May I got the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in Amsterdam, New York. I'm doing that May 20th. So I got a bunch of book tours in between, and you know, I'm going to be busy all summer with book tours around the place. I mean, you know, you got to ride this train while it's hot, and that's what I'm doing, you know. So it's fun, man. I get to see a lot of the fans that I've seen over the years that have been very helpful, whether dinners or rides or anything else. So it's a good chance to see everybody, you know.
Are you coming to Calgary at all in that book tour?
Oh, you know, bro, yeah, I know I'm in, I did two radio shows in Toronto. It covers Toronto and Winnipeg. So, I mean, I don't know. I'd love to come out to Calgary, man. I love the Calgary area.
I'm an American. I've married a Canadian. I've been here about going on 5 years this year. And, mm-hmm. You know, I'm originally from the Oklahoma, Arkansas area. Most of my life I've lived in both places.
Well, that's changed for you up there, isn't it?
Oh, man, it is. I'm still not used to the weather. I friggin' hate it. Hate the snow.
Yeah, it gets a little chilly up there.
Just a bit. So, if you guys were wondering, the book is out. It's called The Road Warriors, Danger, Death, and the Rush of Wrestling. Check it out. It's a good read. I've actually been, I've got a downloaded copy from the publisher that I'm actually reading until I get my copy. But
You haven't got it yet, man. Well, wait till you see the book, bro. I mean, it's absolutely, you know, you take the paper jacket off, it's a black hardback, and it's got my face paint in bright red engraved in the cover of the book.
Oh, wow.
But the spider and the whole works, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And the pictures inside are phenomenal. There's some really dumb pictures, like I'm doing shrugs and, you know, with weight in a rack with 865 pounds. And there's some wrestling shots. There's a shot of my kid, my son James, powerbombing my daughter, you know. And it's some pretty good stuff in there, man. It's really interesting. There's a lot of great photos, and they spared no expense. On each page number, there's a little spider shadowing around the number, and, you know, you turn the page and there's my face paint before every chapter. It's pretty cool. They really went above and beyond making it a quality product, you know, because I told them, I said, I will not accept from my fans anything less, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
So it was good. It was good, man. It was good.
Now, here's the million-dollar question. The rumors are circulating right now that it's possible that you and Hawk are going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. Have you heard anything on that?
Man, we've not heard a thing yet, you know. Not to say that anything can change, but most likely, if we haven't heard by now, I would say it wouldn't happen, you know?
Right.
But, you know, if it was, we're the last ones to find out what goes on anyway. I'm just going about my business. I got the other Hall of Fame I'm going in, and I have a book tour to worry about right now. If it goes, if it ends up happening, great. If not, you know, it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt. Trey, you got anything?
They'll be next year.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. I mean, you know, so far this year, I've even heard Abdullah the Butcher was rumored since he's, you know, living in the Atlanta area. But
it makes sense since he lives there. You know what I mean? It makes sense to do Bob Armstrong down there, and you know, Shawn Michaels is already going in. So I mean, seems like they would need another big name to solidify the whole deal. Maybe Ron Simmons might go in. I don't know, Arn Anderson or somebody. I don't know.
I'd love to see Arn get inducted. You know, that's a guy that I have always loved, you know, going back to his early WCW career as a part of the Four Horsemen. I always felt like if he would have had his shot in WCW as a singles guy, that he probably could have been a main event guy. But, damn, that guy's awesome.
Oh, yeah, man. He had been right there with Flair being a world champion. I mean, yeah. Arn was good. Arn's a great performer. I love wrestling with Arn. You know, Arn was good.
Trey, you got anything before we wrap things up?
Yeah, I guess my last question would be if they came to you today and said, all right, man, we need you one more time, one more match, one-on-one, pick your opponent, who would it be?
You know, I guess I'd have to go Randy Orton.
Wow.
Since he was going around claiming that he's a legend killer. I would say, well, Randy, you ready to try to put another notch in your belt?
All right.
That actually
what a rush versus I hear voices. I can hear it now.
There you go. You can hear more than voices after I hit you in the head.
I hear that. You know, it goes back to the old days, back even in the WWF, the time when, Heenan used to be awesome on the microphone. But I can remember, and I can't remember what match it was, But they were talking about you and Hawk, and I think it was Gorilla. No, it was Bobby Heenan. I think he said, yeah, and he's the small guy who's talking about Hawk.
Heenan was phenomenal, man. Heenan was great.
Yeah, he's definitely someone that is truly missed in wrestling today. You know, the last time I heard, you know, his health wasn't great. I mean, I think he's had like a throat cancer there for a while, and
I saw Bobby. He wasn't looking too great, you know, but good spirit though. Great. I mean, what a great, sweet guy, man. And what a smart, witty SOB. One of the most quick-witted guys I've ever seen in the wrestling business, man, you know.
Yeah, I had...
So let me ask you this, guys. Now, does this show play up in Calgary all the time?
Well, yeah, it's basically, it's an internet-based show, but we've got... I'm out of Calgary. Trey's in Oklahoma, and I mean, we just get phenomenal.
I just want to give some props out there to the Hart family that's still out there, man. I think about them all the time. They're great people, and when Martha and Stu were alive, and they took good care of me, you know, whenever we went up there, I remember when Owen passed, I took my son James when he was about 12 years old up there to pay respects to Owen.
Absolutely.
So Hart family's great people, man.
Well, I've only met a couple of them. I've met Natalia, and I know Harry pretty well. I've never met Brett.
Sure.
I worked with Stampede briefly, so I worked with Bruce and Ross.
Mm-hmm.
They're interesting guys.
Yeah, they're very interesting guys. They're a lot like Stu.
Yes.
So you want to send any love out to us in Oklahoma?
What's that?
So you don't
want
to send any shout-outs or any love to us out in Oklahoma?
Yeah, man, I love Oklahoma. You got to love all them Sooners. You got to love all them Sooners.
That's right. Now, by the book.
By the book in Oklahoma. By the book in Oklahoma, you got a Buckeye that's making your Sooner look good on offense. That's playing on defense.
That's right.
That's what's great about the book. It transcends all generations, guys. I mean, I was lucky to do wrestle in three different decades of this wrestling business.
Wow.
You know, the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, and not very many guys could say that and do it on top. And I did that. And, you know,
at the biggest level, at the biggest stage.
On the biggest stage you ever have to get on, you know, the big time. And I'm so appreciative of it. That's why I sat down and I waited this long and I said, you know, when I read a book, I wanted to do well. And, you know, right now, like I said, it's number 9 already. You made the top 10 on Amazon.com and sports autobiographies. And with the fans' help, I know it'll be a New York Times bestseller real soon because that's where we're headed. You know, you can't stop it. It's like a runaway train. And wrestling fans are just too powerful and strong. Whether you buy a hardback copy or a softback copy, you can buy it on ebook and, you know, or Kindle. So, I mean, there's all different ways you can get it. Like I said, you can go to www.theroadwarrioranimal.com, get a list of my personal appearances on there, and you can buy the book right there too.
Awesome.
See, now, I'd like to be like Oprah and go, everybody's getting a copy. I can't afford
that.
Thank
you, man. I can't afford, you guys are great.
I can't afford 5,000 copies, man, sorry.
Well, you know, hey, maybe I'll get a chance to get on Oprah and she'll say that for me.
Hey,
there you go.
That'd be awesome.
There you go.
Now, I did want to say one thing before we let you go. Obviously, March 29th, we've got a major video game releasing by the WWE. THQ putting out WWE All-Stars, which has one of the rosters, the greatest rosters of all time. And the Road Warriors are going to be featured DLC on this game. And have you had a chance to take a look at the game, what it's about?
No, I heard about it. I had not seen the game, but I heard we were in it, man, and that's great, you know. It's been a long time overdue. You got to quit putting games out there without us on there like we didn't even exist in a company. I mean, you know, maybe they did it for a reason, that this time's the big time, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, this game, if you didn't know, the characters are just, like, super big. Everybody looks like they just came off of, you know, a wellness violation. Like, they're super huge, you know, guys like John Cena and The Rock. And, you know, it's very arcadey. It's a lot like the Street Fighter franchise. So it's basically your favorite wrestlers in a fighting game. And everything I've seen of it, the videos look awesome. And I'm looking forward to that DLC so I can do some pounding with the Road Warriors.
Well, I'm sure my son James, being the big kid at heart in the NFL, he'll have a copy of the game. He'll be playing it. And I know when he plays the game, my character's not lost for 15 years. So, I mean, I do pretty well when he plays it.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, before I let you go, whatever happened to Zubas?
You know, we had Zubas, and it just got, expense payouts and, shipping and receiving just got to be, I wanted to sell it after the second year, and my partners said, no, we're going to wait another year, and it was another year too long, man. Textiles are a funny business. When it's hot, it's hot, and you got to get out, and we didn't get out in time, so I think you can still get them online.
Okay.
That's about it.
I know that back in my my gym rat days when I used to work out religiously, I used to have two or three pairs. I had one pair that had a barbed wire print all over it that I just loved. I'd always go work out in those. And
I remember those.
Very comfortable pants. Always loved them.
Well, thanks, man.
No problem. Well, guys, this has been Joe Animal Laurinaitis of the Road Warriors. I want to thank you for coming on. I wish you luck with the book. Looks like you're going to do really well with it, and I can't wait to see it hit the bestseller list.
Well, man, thank you very much, guys, for your time and helping me promote the book. And I hope it was an informative conversation. And I look forward to, like I said, wrestling fans, go to www.theroadwarrioranimal.com. Find out where I am. Come there, because at every appearance, I will be painted up, and you can get to take pictures with me, and I'll sign a copy of the book, and we'll have a good old warrior time.
We need to start a campaign, Animal to TNA, to the booking committee.
Well, hey, as long as they want to give me a paycheck, they will get my 150% undivided attention. And, I know I got things to offer, so we'll see what happens. Hey, this is Road Warrior Animal, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live on SS Radio Network. And you know what that is? What a rush.
All right, Joe, you take it easy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, that was Joe the Animal Laurinaitis joining us here on Wrestling News Live. I guess we're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break of the night, come back, and get into the news of the week and all the major happenings in the world of professional wrestling. What an interview, Trey.
And not even the interview. This is the interview we knew we were going to have. We actually had another one today as well.
It's been a long day for us.
Yes.
So with that said, guys, you're listening to Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network. We'll be right back right after this.
Hey, this is Santo Loco, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live.
Notorious 187 and his posse.
We keep it hardcore like a 187. Keep it hardcore. LAX is a weapon. Keep it hardcore. So count your blessings.
WrestlingOnline.com, the official news source of Wrestling News Live. If you're looking for the latest news in the world of MMA and professional wrestling, log on to www.wrestling-online.com and sign up for the largest and longest running newsletter on the internet today, with over 26,000 subscribers and over 3,000 issues. And the best part, just like WNL, it's free! Once again, that's www.wrestlingonline.com.
Represent larger than life human beings.
He is the Big Show. But you've never seen him like this. Now, experience firsthand how a larger than life superstar lives in an average sized world in Big Show, a Giant's World.
Growing up being freakishly large isn't as cool as you might think it is.
Here's your chance to go behind the scenes and get an exclusive look at one of the most charismatic entertainers both in and outside of the ring. Including candid interviews.
I'll tell you a funny story, actually. It'll be so bad that I said so.
Vintage moments.
Boss Superplex! The just imploded.
And 24 devastating matches showcasing over 15 years of the Big Show's dominating career. Big Show, A Giant's World, available now.
Hey everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, and you're listening to WNL Radio.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's gonna pay.
I'm gonna ask you one question, brother.
You want some?
What's that gonna do? Come get some!
On March 29th, generations will collide in the most epic fantasy warfare matchups ever. WWE superstars of today.
The largest athlete on the planet.
The most iconic WWE legends of yesterday.
I come here to fight. I don't know what you come here to do.
Battle in 15 unprecedented dream matches.
I am the role model this world needs.
The biggest piece of trash I ever saw in my life.
I've always been the snake you should worry about.
You have just made the biggest mistake of your life.
I am the ultimate warrior.
You will take me seriously.
The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be.
I am the premier superstar in the WWE today.
When you look at Mr. Perfect, what you see is what you get. And what you're getting is absolutely perfect.
Really? The greatest matchups haven't happened until now.
Pre-order WWE All-Stars at GameStop today.
For over two decades, the greatest cities have welcomed the world to WrestleMania. Now on April 3rd, 2011, the most spectacular event in live entertainment is coming to Atlanta.
Is ruthless.
For real, and it's on. And I'll do whatever it takes to get that contract.
The challenge is excruciating.
Go outside and then walk back in the door like you want to be here.
And the judge is stone cold.
Give me one good reason why you're here.
14 contestants battle to become the next WWE superstar. And they just have to impress him.
Your hairdo is pissing me off.
So, good luck with that. WWE Tough Enough, a new reality series. Premieres Monday, April 4th, following Raw. Only on USA. Characters welcome.
It's time.
It's time to stop.
The name-calling.
The hurt.
The bullying.
Because of race, creed,
color,
sexual orientation. It's time to treat everyone like you want to be treated.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to eliminate.
Eliminate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Razor Rick Knight, you're listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the new Wrestling News Live. And now, here are your hosts, The Trey Dog and JJ Sexay of SundayNightShowdown.com.
You can't see me, my time is now.
In case you forgot or fell off, I'm still high.
All right, guys, we're back right here, Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. Of course, I am Mr. Money on the mic, JJ. All caps Sexay with grapes in hand, and joining me on the program, the founder, the original host of Wrestling News Live, ladies and gentlemen, the Trey Dog is in the house.
Eliminate the narcotics.
It's something that needs to happen.
You know, you and Jeff Hardy have something in common this week.
What's that?
Neither one of you are going to see Impact.
Yes. Yes, that is very true, my friend. Neither one of us are going to be at Impact. Neither one of us are going to watch Impact this week.
So. Interesting that you would play that little Rick Titan promo there.
Is it? Is it really interesting, or is it coincidence?
Was that what they like to call product placement?
Or maybe is that what they call, a segue?
A segue, maybe?
Maybe, and not the scooter.
I will tell you this much, since all I did was sit down for the interview, I'll let you do the major announcement.
Well, I want to thank, first of all, the fucking foreign kid, Chris Kelly, headlocks2headlines.com, the man who does the majority of the booking on this network, and he actually booked us an interview that Trey and I conducted with the former Razor Ramon, the bad guy, Scott Hall of the NWO Infamy, earlier this afternoon. So kudos go out to the fucking foreign kid.
So next week you'll have a nice, long, lengthy, about an hour interview with the bad guy.
Hey, yo. Should be fun.
Let me tell you, it's something you're not going to want to miss.
Yes, a lot of the things that he said, very old school mentality. He talks about the business, and you're going to find out firsthand what's up with Chico these days.
And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you this much. As soon as the recording of the interview is over, the first two words to come out of JJ's mouth were, "Holy shit."
Well, he's another guy that you and I had on our bucket list, right?
Yeah. Scratch one off the bucket list.
Which is, whittling its way down.
Slowly, yeah. But this was one that will get us a couple more off of our bucket list, hopefully.
Well, we're hoping, right?
Yeah.
So I guess before we move into anything major, we should probably go ahead and talk a little news of the week. Sponsored, of course, by WrestlingOnline.com or Wrestling
Dash. News of the week!
Wrestling-Online.com.
Excuse me! Excuse me!
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
May I have your attention, please?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
And now the news.
All right. Let's get the news underway right here on the program.
Oh, hey, but before you start, I have breaking news.
What's your breaking news?
This is happening right now. Just now going down. Flair 16 time is eating Long John Silver's.
Fuck you guys. And I mean that shit from the bottom of my heart. Fuck you.
Oh, Bronx, he's even worse. He's at Toby Keith's eating a steak.
I hate you guys. I really do. I don't have any such guilty pleasures here in Calgary. Pisses me off.
The two places JJ loves the most, Long John Silver's and Toby Keith's. Oh, and more news. The reason my microphone sounds different tonight is because this afternoon, getting ready for the interview, I blew my mixer board.
And that's breaking news in itself.
Like a scene out of a bad 80s movie. I turned it on and it went poof. And the smoke started coming out of all the empty holes that weren't plugged in with something.
On with the news. I don't know if you heard the rumor or not, Trey, but apparently WrestleMania will not be the only time we're going to see The Rock.
Oh, no?
Apparently The Rock is scheduled to appear on the Raw after WrestleMania. Not only will he be hosting WrestleMania on Sunday, April 3rd, but he will also be appearing the next night on Monday Night Raw live. Yes, The Rock will not bring it via satellite, but will be there in person in Atlanta at the Phillips Arena for the fallout from the biggest wrestling show of the year. The People's Champ has one more live appearance scheduled, believed to be his last Raw before Mania. We didn't see him live tonight, but he did bring it via satellite. This is kind of a big one. Shelton Benjamin worked a dark match last week at the SmackDown tapings, and it looks like that after WrestleMania, he may be given a contract to come back to World Wrestling Entertainment.
Now, I was under the impression there's a chance he may be on WrestleMania.
It's highly doubtful. I mean, no Money in the Bank match. There's really nothing for him to do. And when you think about it, traditionally, after WrestleMania is the start of a new year when they start bringing new people in.
Right.
They get rid of people that aren't doing well. Like, I've heard there's going to be cuts after WrestleMania. So as part of the cuts, maybe he might be one of the new talents hired into the company. We'll see.
Well, have they've eliminated the ladder match from WrestleMania, yes?
To my knowledge, there is no Money in the Bank wrestling match.
All right, well, there'd be no reason to bring him back then. But if you had one, he'd be a hell of a surprise entrant.
No, I agree. You have like a surprise entrant leading up to Mania.
I guess with finding out that we've got Jomo and Ziggler in a match with Divas and Snooki, that eliminates the thought of a Money in the Bank match.
Speaking of Jomo, apparently Morrison and Melina were banned from a bar after jumping in the pool. WWE superstar John Morrison and his real-life girlfriend, WWE diva Melina, were thrown out of the Sky Bar in Hollywood and banned for life, according to messages posted by the former Intercontinental Champion. The two were celebrating Melina's 32nd birthday when they decided to jump in the pool. Three lonely trolls pitched a fit about me splashing their $2,000 boots and got us kicked out, says Morrison. Skybar, why would you have a pool if you didn't want us to jump in? He then added.
I hate to say it, he's got a point.
So that was an interesting little turn of events. Got a little bit of a news story on one Jeff Nero Hardy.
Oh, other than his addiction.
Apparently, former TNA and WWE champion Jeff Hardy announced on his Twitter that he got married to his girlfriend Beth. I just got married, Hardy tweeted. And Ruby just pooped, referring to their son. His new wife thanked all the fans for their congratulations, saying the wedding was a long time coming, and he posted a photo of the two showing off their rings and the comment, "It's official."
Now, wait a minute. Rewind that a little bit. You said, and Ruby just pooped.
That's what it said.
And their son is named Ruby?
Well, at least he's not named Quito Shemalema Ding Dong Hardy. Could be worse. Could be worse.
They have a daughter, not a son.
According to this news report, it says son on here, but it could be daughter. I'm just reading the news.
Don't call me daughter.
So if there's a typo, it's not on my end.
Yeah, it's a girl. They had a girl, yes.
Okay. So then that would be their daughter, but it says son in my
report. Ruby is a little better for a girl. I'm not gonna go all weird on the motherfucker like I was going to. But the fact that you showed the rings but didn't show the poop, what kind of picture is that?
Well, in other interesting news regarding Jeff and Beth getting married, makes you kind of wonder, did he marry her so that she couldn't testify against him in the drug trial?
Ooh.
Just putting it out there, folks. I can neither confirm nor deny that's true, but with the timing of all these, with everything going on with him in court, it just makes sense to me. But, you know, they've been together a long time, so kudos to them. Unfortunately, Jeff might not be spending too much time with his wife because, you know, he could be going to jail soon. At this stage in the game, I think that might be the best place for him.
I'm just saying, it's probably the best thing that could ever happen to him at this point.
On to other news. WWE and The Score in Canada extend an agreement. WWE and Canada Score announced that they have extended the deal with a new multi-year agreement that will keep the WWE programming on The Score for the next couple of years. The new deal includes new original WWE content to Canadian fans on all media platforms, online, mobile, and video on demand. This extension gives fans of the exciting WWE entertainment they could ask for across multiple media platforms, says Benji Levy, Executive Vice President and COO of Score Media Incorporated. That's good news for me. Maybe not so much for you, but for me, that's a good thing.
That's great for all you Canadian motherfuckers, but you know, I just wonder if before Jeff leaves and go to jail, if he stops and says, "Beth, what's it like to be a good wife?" I'm going to need to know these things while I'm in prison.
Ba-dum-bum-bum-shh. Oh, here's an interesting.
Sorry for me, Argentina.
Here's an interesting story. WWE pizza's coming to a parlor near you. Yes, you heard it right. You might see a WWE-themed pizza next time you go to your favorite pizza place, as the Pizza Prince Company announced that they have reached a new licensing deal with the WWE to develop two WWE edible image designs for pizzas. The designs will feature WWE superstars and will be available in more than 1,200 independent pizza parlors nationwide. The company already has...
Triple H and a John Cena.
Oh, the company...
And for dessert, I'll take a Michael Cole.
The company already has a similar deals with the NBA, NCAA, Nickelodeon, and other brands. Pizza Prince edible image designs are flat-printed decorations that are made in the USA of starches and FDA-approved edible food colors. The natural cheese flavor of the image complements the pizza. They are manufactured by the Lux Company. Wow. Interesting.
Just what I put on my must-have list.
And last week, Raw did a rating of a 3.9 off hours. Let's see, 3.94 and 3.90 with an average of 5,785 viewers. It's up from the previous week at a 3.82 rating with 178,000 viewers more in total. So kudos to Raw for popping yet another high rating for Monday Night Raw. Let's see.
Did you say eye-popping?
I did, yes.
I tell you what's eye-popping. Opening up a pizza and seeing Triple H's face on that motherfucker's eye-popping.
Give me a Triple H with some cheese. Give me some Undertaker with some anchovies. Oh, there's a new WWE Studios movie that's been announced.
Oh, great.
The title is called Barricade. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Eric McCormick of Will and Grace will be in the leading role. The movie will be the first WWE Studios flicks which will not have any WWE superstars in it. We'll shoot in Vancouver rather than New Orleans. The WWE has shot 7 movies back-to-back in New Orleans last year. The movie will be a supernatural thriller about a psychiatrist seeking to find normalcy after the sudden passing of his wife, who takes his 2 kids to a remote cabin for healing and bonding. Their joy soon becomes despair when the family is terrorized by unknown forces and the father will stop at nothing to save them from peril. Wouldn't it be good to have Kane as Jacob Goodnight in that movie? He could be the one tormenting them. Just a thought.
I don't know what somebody in the creative area is thinking. I mean, if you can't sell movies to the wrestling crowd that have wrestlers in them, what makes you think you're going to sell one with wrestlers not in them?
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that.
Whatever.
In a very sad note, former WWE diva Jillian Hall apparently lost. She had a miscarriage. She lost her baby about 14 weeks into her pregnancy. And, our thoughts and prayers go out to Jillian. That is unfortunate.
Yeah, that's sad news right there.
And I don't know if you've caught American Idol recently. I haven't. But apparently contestant James Durbin talks about the WWE in a recent interview. One of the favorites to go all the way to the finale. James Durbin did an interview with MTV and went into his wrestling mode, stealing a catchphrase from The Miz. I feel awesome. I feel absolutely incredible, as one of my favorite pro wrestlers would say. I'm James Durbin, and I'm awesome. The interviewer then asked Durbin how he feels about The Rock making a return. He said he loves it, saying it's probably the best move that they could have done. I'm sick of John Cena. I'm sick of it. He continues before making a trip down memory lane all the way to Cena's debut against Kurt Angle. Wow, good memory, James. So apparently James Durbin, like a lot of the other wrestling fans in the world, sick of John Cena. Who does this surprise?
Not you.
No, definitely not me. Apparently, Rey Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes has been added to WrestleMania after this week's SmackDown. In a related story on Rey Mysterio, and I don't have the final logistics on that, there is a rumor going around right now that Rey Mysterio might be retiring from the WWE because he's asked for a release, he's asked for time off, they haven't given it, so it's looking like with the recent signing of Mystico, that with all the surgeries Rey's had on his knees, he might be winding down with the company. Might not be too long before now that Rey Mysterio leaves the WWE.
Well, I can tell you this much. That he has recently said in an interview with Brian Fritz that he's not going anywhere for a long, long time, but we'll see.
Well, that might be true, but he remains a backstage player. When he doesn't get his way, he kind of throws threats at the backstage or the creative team, so we'll see what happens. Let's see. Of course, one of the big news stories that happened, obviously, last night, Jeff Hardy showed up at the TNA Victory Road pay-per-view under the influence of something. We don't know what, but we had about a 1 minute and 37 seconds, if that, pay-per-view main event, which consisted of Jeff Hardy stumbling down the rampway.
He was under the influence of WWE pizza.
He was under the influence of something.
How many WWE pizzas does it take to feed a stone Jeff Hardy?
No, apparently a lot. And apparently Sting won the match in about, about a minute or so and ended the pay-per-view on a very sour note. As Sting walked up the rampway, the fans were chanting bullshit. And noticeably on camera, Sting looks back and says, "I know, I agree." Not a good thing for your company when your champion is saying, "I know, I agree," as the pay-per-view fades to black. Just saying. We'll cover that more after the news. But I think that's pretty much all the major news going on, other than the fact that as of today, Jeff Hardy was sent home from the Impact tapings, which I think we kind of covered. So doesn't look like he's going to be involved in the next 3 or 4 weeks' worth of Impact tapings. And, you know, the status on his status with the company at this point in time is unknown. Which is probably a good thing.
I say you missed these three tapings. It better be because he's going to rehab.
I would agree. I did hear that a new title belt was design was debuted tonight. So that's at least a plus.
Nice.
So do you want to just go ahead and jump into the big elephant in the room that happened last night?
Well, she said she was 18, but she didn't produce an ID until we were done doing everything dirty we could do.
Look, what you and Snooki do on your own time is your business, okay?
My bad. I thought you were wanting to go. Okay. Go wherever you want.
Well, we may as well segue into it. The TNA Victory Road pay-per-view last night. As most of you know, I did not participate in Sunday Night Showdown, my own show, because I'm boycotting the TNA product. I did not see a lot of the matches. I did catch a couple things today. I did see the main event, courtesy of YouTube. I heard what was positive, and I heard what was negative. I'm not going to comment on what I did not see. But what I did see that was negative was the horrible knockouts match that consisted of about a 10-second roll-up that looked like shit. And the main event, in which somebody in TNA Wrestling thought it was a good idea to allow Jeff Hardy to waddle his under-the-influence ass down the ramp, get in the ring, and have some semblance of a bullshit main event finish. I implore you all to go and find that footage from Victory Road, whether you see it on YouTube, whether you purchased the pay-per-view, or whether you catch it on a replay. I encourage you to go and watch that footage one more time, because I'm going to break it down for you, what I saw today. Watched it twice, and this is what you saw. Jeff Hardy's music plays longer than normal. Why? Because he was inebriated. He was under the influence of what I do not know and was stumbling up and down the rampway. He stumbled over to some fans because apparently he thought he was face. So he started slapping hands with some fans, and one fan wouldn't let him go. So he stumbles back onto the ramp. They get a close-up of Jeff Nero Hardy, and he's trying to celebrate like he's a face. And they show you the shot of his face, And if you look directly into his face, you can see that the son of a bitch was completely shit-faced. You can see his eyes were glazed over, and he makes his way slowly waddling down to the ring. Next up, we see Sting make his entrance down to the ring.
Obviously not happy.
Sting looks like he's very angry at this point. We look at Jeremy Borash, who has the dubious honor of doing the ring announcing. You look at Jeremy Borash, and he does not look happy as well. Hebner Jr. is sitting there holding the World Heavyweight Championship, or at least Jeff Hardy's version of it, and he looks like, what the hell are we doing here? So if you go back and you look at all this, I mean, it's like reading an open book. And then we have Eric Bischoff's music come down. Eric comes down to the ring. He says that they're going to throw a change into this because the network changed up their match a couple weeks ago. And so they're going to make this a no disqualification match. They're going to level the playing field, which is said about three times. He goes over to Jeff Hardy. He whispers something to Jeff, which I actually tried to find the audio for that today. I turned up my mixer as loud as I could get it, and I still couldn't hear what he said to Jeff, but I think I got the gist of it. So he basically tells Jeff what's going on. You know, Sting is going to hit, obviously going to hit a finish on you or something. Tells him what to do. Goes over to Sting. Starts cutting a promo. In the middle of cutting the promo, he takes the microphone away. Tells Sting what I believe is, hit your finish and go home and fucking pin his ass. So then he tells him to hit him. Sting then hits Eric Bischoff. Jeff Hardy decides it's time to party with the fans. He takes off his t-shirt and tries to play, which side of the crowd gets the t-shirt? To which Sting is just standing there with this look on his face like, what in the fuck is going on? So he goes over, tries to lock up with Jeff, lays a couple shots on him, and then hits probably the best-looking Scorpion Death Drop I've ever seen in my life. Very shoot style. Goes for the pin and literally shoots on Jeff Hardy, holding his ass down to the mat, putting all of his weight down. And Jeff Hardy tried to kick out of this, mind you. But he is legit shooting on Jeff Hardy, holding that motherfucker down. Gets the three count. Soon as Jeff gets up, he doesn't know what the hell's going on. Not like he knew before, but he definitely doesn't know what's going on now because he feels like he just got screwed over. So then you have Sting making his way up the ramp. The crowd is chanting, this is bullshit. And you have Sting saying, yeah, I agree. I agree. And that's when the fade to black goes. That's how you ended the pay-per-view. With the man that is your champion, your standard bearer in the company, saying, yeah, this is bullshit. What a great job on TNA's behalf. That, ladies and gentlemen, is how you do not do pay-per-view. Once again, TNA setting the standards for how not to do things. Before I go any further, Trey, I want to go to the phone lines. I believe joining us, we have a caller. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How are you?
Pretty good. I believe this is the Spud Guy. What's going on, man?
Nothing. You know, I've said it for a good long while that TNA is on its last legs and dying. And this whole situation could be avoided, could have been avoided 6 weeks ago if you had not put the belt back on Jeff Hardy and left it on Anderson. This wish-wash between Jeff Hardy's going to jail, he's not going to jail, we're going to take the belt off of him for his court dates, and then when we find out that he's not going to jail, we're going to put back on him. You could have avoided this entirely weeks ago by leaving the belt off of him. He was fired his first run in TNA because he couldn't keep his nose clean. He was fired from WWE because he couldn't keep his nose clean. He's going to jail because he had drugs in his home, and allegedly the reason his trailer blew up was that it was allegedly a meth lab. Now, there's never been a confirmed report of this, but again, where there's smoke, there's fire. This is an individual who, by all accounts, and with visual proof from last night, goes into the ring high. How do you expect him to keep himself or his opponent safe? Gentlemen,
you know what? You're right. I mean, this is a topic that I've been I've been discussing ever since what the report came out back around Final Resolution, when we all thought Jeff Hardy was baked. And I made the comment on this very program and on Sunday Night Showdown that, in fact, the reason he hit about 14 fucking twists of hates on Matt Morgan is because he didn't know what the hell he was doing. Of course, the next day a report comes out that Bob Ryder had supposedly said, to which he denies, that TNA lets Jeff Hardy work inebriated or high or under the influence. This is nothing new for that company. So, you know, if you want to go back further, this is a situation that they've known about all along that they've done nothing for.
All right, JJ, you've spent time in the back, correct?
Yes.
Behind the curtain.
I have.
I have as well. You know, many of your listeners may know or may not know. I work in the Ohio area from time to time. It's more of a hobby than it is a profession now. But again, I do know what the hell I'm doing. Would anybody in the back where you've been let somebody walk out of that curtain if they couldn't protect themselves or their opponent?
Hell no.
The wrestling industry as a whole generally polices itself. And if nobody in the back is going to step up and not let him walk through the curtain, what the hell's wrong with that company?
Yeah.
You know? He could have seriously... Let's say Bischoff doesn't stop that match last night. And I'll play devil's advocate with you both. Let's say Bishop doesn't stop that match last night. Nobody has any clue that Jeff Hardy's as baked as he is. And he seriously hurts Sting. Even paralyzes him.
Okay.
Because he hits a move wrong. You know? How do you as a company explain that to your workers?
No, you're right. And, I mean, if you remember, he's the one that gave Anderson the concussion with the chair shot to the back of the head,
mm-hmm.
a la Under the Influence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wouldn't even close with that chair shot.
No, and, Trey, I go back years with you. I remember buying a TNA pay-per-view at your and JSK's suggestion to see what the product was all about. And back in the day, it was a decent product. Back when the X Division was prevalent, when Joe first started coming in, and you had, you know, America's Most Wanted and stuff. As a long supporter of the program, of the product, how do you as a fan feel about watching this now? About seeing what happened last night and seeing where the company's headed?
Again, nothing changes for me, because it's never been about the boys in the back. It's been my hatred towards the you know, people in charge. This is just another black eye on them.
And you're
Trust
right.
Me.
And you're
Trust
right.
Me. After watching Sting's response to that match last night, walking up the ramp, it won't happen again. If it does, he won't be there.
I would have fired Jeff Hardy immediately.
Yeah.
I would.
I'm with you. I think the guy needs to be fired. I think he needs to go to jail, because that's the best thing for him right now. I'm sick of continuance after continuance after continuance. And hey, I'm going to tell you right now, if I am the prosecuting attorney that's in this case with Jeff Hardy, I'm going to start pulling TNA footage.
Well, I'll tell you what I would do. If I was TNA and I still had Jeff under contract, I'd send Jeff Hardy to Celebrity Rehab on MTV or whatever, give him some TNA some publicity, and put him through fucking rehab.
I disagree with that. You don't want your champion going through Celebrity Rehab. That's not positive publicity for you.
He's not your champion anymore.
But he's your former champion. He's a guy that you pushed to the moon. You don't want him going to Celebrity Rehab.
How many champions have been in rehab?
We saw how well that show worked out for the bassist from Alice in Chains. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, did wonders for Jeff Conway.
Right. The problem with all of this goes back to the night that you put the belt back on Jeff Hardy and allowing him to come to the ring inebriated. And, you know, I said part of it lies with the boys in the back, and it still does, because if you're going to protect your fellow wrestlers and you're going to protect the guys who are out there with you night in and night out, you don't let Jeff Hardy walk through the curtain. Especially your own brother. Why Matt let him walk out, I'll never know. But then again, this could have all been fixed if you don't put the belt back on Jeff Hardy. But they did, and now we have what we have. The question, though, is how do you fix it going forward? Because this is along the lines of the finger poke of doom, the Katie Vick, you know, things that live in the annals of wrestling history as a black eye on the entire business, not just one promotion.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm embarrassed to be a wrestling fan after last night, after this shit that they pulled. Now, granted, the fact that there were matches on the card last night that were good, that people enjoyed, you know, the pay-per-view wasn't a total schmoz fest. There were good things on the pay-per-view. But, again, you're right. This is a black eye to not only TNA, but the wrestling industry. I mean, honestly, you had a match where you had two number one guys that were, you know, number one contendership match. That went to a no contest. Could they have not have pulled an audible, pulled Jeff Hardy out of the match, and then maybe, since those guys obviously didn't win a number one contendership match, had a triple threat with all three of those gentlemen that would have saved the pay-per-view? I don't know. What? Just common sense thinking here.
Wait a minute.
Bueno.
Wait a minute. Let's look at this from a different aspect.
All right.
You guys want blood. You want Jeff Hardy to go to jail. You want him off TNA television, right?
I never said that. Well, I never said I wanted blood. What I want is for this company to do well. I don't want it to continually suffer and pull shit down and make it to where it's embarrassing to be a wrestling fan. I never said I wanted blood and I want Jeff Hardy to go to hell. The guy needs help. He needs help in a big way. But he's been given chance after chance after chance, and he's burned every goddamn bridge that he's ever had.
All right, I'm going to assume that both of you have seen the movie Jurassic Park, correct?
Yes.
The scene where Hammond and the computer program are talking about the computer, I think his name was Nedry. They were talking about his financial problems.
Yes.
And Hammond says, I don't blame people for their mistakes, but I do ask that they pay for them.
Exactly.
Jeff Hardy has been enabled and limped along his entire professional career. The accusation that he wrestles and has wrestled high and inebriated doesn't just start in this latest stint in TNA. It goes all the way back to his beginning days in WWF/WWE.
True.
He has been enabled and limped along because when he performs at a high level, his ability to perform is very captivating to the audience and fat women everywhere.
Captain Bone chat room makes a good comment. It's where I was going to go. It's what I was kind of leading to. But last night might have been the straw that broke the camel's back for TNA. I don't see how the company rebounds from last night, especially with the comment Hogan made at tonight's tapings in a promo. Well, I haven't read that promo yet. What I was alluding to is last night was definitely done on purpose. As far as now, hold on a minute, goddammit.
Well, I was trying to inform you of the Hogan comment.
So hold on a minute. Jeff Hardy, I feel, in my opinion, in my heart of hearts, I almost feel as if they let him go out there last night and they did what they did to kill him off as a character, as a career. Because I don't see how he personally recovers from this.
I don't know how you do that to an individual.
Well,
I don't.
This is a guy that's gone out there and tried to get away with it several times. I think they finally said, fuck it. And Sting did what he did because he was told to.
I still don't know how you do that to an individual.
I just ask, as a wrestler, how do you come back from what happened to Jeff Hardy?
Well, I don't know if you can. You start by fixing whatever your personal demons are and atone for your sins, first and foremost. That's the first thing that you do. And you build up from there. You're the first guy at the arena, you know? If you need to help the ring crew set up, you help the ring crew. It doesn't matter if you're on the roster or not. You do everything in your power to get in the good graces of that promoter again. They want you to work dark matches and get squashed by the new talent coming up? Okay. How good do you want me to put them over? You go through your rehab. You sit out. You you get yourself piss tested by independent parties, then you have the results faxed immediately to the promoter. You do all of those things. That's how you get back in the good graces, but I don't think Jeff Hardy has the motivation for that first and foremost. And just to go back to the Hogan thing, Hogan, to paraphrase essentially, Hogan made a comment about Sting's title reign in TNA not lasting very long because there were talent the world over wanting to join this tsunami that was revolutionizing the pro wrestling industry.
Wow, that's, you know, that's amazing that Hulk Hogan has the balls and the heart to say something like that, given the obvious disaster that we've had in Japan over the weekend. Wow, that's class and sensitivity all the way. And people wonder why I don't give a fuck about watching this show. People wonder why I don't give a fuck about TNA. It seems to me like maybe they just want to destroy this company. Because, you know, with what you pulled last night at the pay-per-view, and then coming out and making a comment like that, whether it was taken out of context or not, the fact that you would say, well, there's people that want to join my tsunami, fuck you, man. Like, that's just fucked up. Here's the thing. Not only did last night jeopardize a guy like Sting having to wrestle a guy who's totally under the influence and can't fucking, doesn't even know where he's at. Not only does that hurt the company, but geez, man, think about the people at Spike. Do you think those executives at Spike are going to want to promote your show? Do you think they're going to want to be a part of something like that? I mean, this could kill your TV deal. This could kill your company, essentially.
That might not be a bad thing for TNA, though. You know, you close the chapter on what has essentially become the laughingstock of professional wrestling. You cut any ties that you have with Russo or Bischoff or Hogan. You cut, and I'm not saying that Hogan should be fired for his comments. We've all misspoke. We've all done it. Anyone listening or on this program right now can't say that at one time or another they didn't misspeak and say something that they shouldn't have.
True.
I'm not going to crucify the guy because he misspoke. He chose a poor choice of words. You know, it happens. But you close the chapter on this. You end it, and you get rid of Jarrett. Whatever. I mean, as far as I know, Dixie Carter owns the majority share. Panda Energy owns the majority share. Correct?
Yes.
So you start anew. You reopen. You retool. You use guys on the roster who can make that company into something phenomenal. And it wasn't a pun at AJ Styles. I mean, but you have guys like him. You have Samoa Joe and Desmond Wolfe and Kurt Angle, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on of guys that can make that company into a world beater. But they're not doing it properly. And as a wrestling fan, and people know that I bash on TNA and they assume that I bash on TNA because it's not WWF. No. I wish there are individuals in that company that I would love to see hold that world title, that I would love to see be successful, but they continue to get buried because of mismanagement and improper use of the talent that they have on the roster.
True enough. I agree with you there. And you know what? I get the reputation for being a TNA basher, and I have never once come out and said that any of those talents, any of those guys and gals that bust their ass for this company and do their best to try and make this company a better company, an alternative to the WWE, I have never once come out and said, well, they all suck. Because my heart goes out to every one of them who busted their ass last night and have to deal with the embarrassment that is Jeff Hardy and what he has brought to their company. It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, but what is more unfortunate out of all of it is that you have these individuals who now have to explain to people that they're going to get, it's guilt by association, right? We've seen Hardy come out high and inebriated, and we have video proof of this now. You have guys who may not be at the level of Samoa Joe or Desmond Wolfe and whatnot who take the independent bookings, and these promoters just know them because of a name and don't know their work or haven't seen a promo package. And some of these promoters are going to lump them into the Jeff Hardy category and may not book them because they're afraid they're going to show up inebriated.
That's true.
You know, it sounds like it's far-fetched and that I'm you know, being a pessimist and worst case scenario. And I sort of am. But when you get to that phase, you know, there are hundreds of promoters, thousands of promoters across the country, Canada and Mexico, that book these guys. And I guarantee you one of them is going to do it.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I didn't mean to hijack your show and go on a soapbox.
No, but you made good points. Hey, you made good points, Buck.
I apologize. I'll let you get back. But thanks for the airtime, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good show.
All right, Spug. We'll talk to you later, man.
All right.
Good points by the Spug guy, Trey.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I can't argue with a whole lot of shit right now.
I mean, you know, I feel vindicated, really, after everything I've said. I feel very vindicated. I don't like it. I don't like what happened. But it happened nonetheless. There's not much I can do about it. You know? Go ahead.
You know, I was just watching Raw tonight thinking, and, you know, I'm trying to think of who we were talking about. Oh, Sting. When we said the guy has just never been in the business where it's been ran properly. You know, it's amazing how much better the WWE's business in is ran than TNA's. But don't think that WWE didn't do stupid shit either.
Right. Well,
yeah, just in tonight's show alone, I'll put it to you this way. The biggest pop of the night, the most interesting thing that happened on Raw tonight involved the announcing team.
Yeah.
Is that what you want your Monday Night Raw program to be known for?
No, but I mean, there was a lot of interesting things that happened tonight. I thought tonight was a pretty good show.
That was all right.
But before...
Was there a Triple H or Undertaker?
No.
No.
They're saving that to Mania.
Yeah, build to it.
Well, and they are. Slowly but surely, it's a build. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. We have a call coming in. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Yeah, guys, how's it going?
That's the fucking foreign kid. What's up, man?
Fuck. You know, I didn't get to see last night's pay per view for TNA, but I did get to the main event. And out of this, don't you think that Sting looks a bit like a hypocrite? He said that he wouldn't go to WWE because he felt that the workers in TNA were safe and could carry him to a match. Then he versus a match with someone who was stoned and high. Doesn't that kind of make him look stupid for saying that, like, to his friends? Because, you know, like, I know people are saying, oh, Jeff Hardy was high, whatever. You can get high and still wrestle. For example, Shane Martinez, she often said that she used to get medicated before matches, but not to an extent where it would affect her in-ring work. You can get high and not become a walking hazard.
You play just a tip and not rape somebody.
I would have to say, though, Crilly, that, you know, you would much rather be buzzed than high in a fucking match. You don't need to be, like, blitzed out of your fucking mind. You know, a buzz is one thing, but to be completely fucked up and not know your name, not know who you are, what you're doing, that is embarrassing.
Yeah, and, like, I said it on Facebook, right? Jeff Hardy is the guy that I used to, like, look up to when I was, like, watching the Attitude Era. And now I look at him, and he's a drug baron that's married and got a kid. You know what? Vince McMahon offers to pay for your rehab. Take it up. Step away from pro wrestling. And if there's one person that Jeff Hardy should look at for inspiration, was of course Eddie Guerrero. Didn't he? Eddie Guerrero had demons a la Jeff Hardy. And he lost his family because of drugs.
Yeah, and Eddie Guerrero died.
Turn it around, pun.
And Eddie Guerrero died shortly thereafter.
I know.
You know, contrary to what people want to believe, they say Eddie was clean, and I'm not going to sit here and say that he wasn't, but obviously the result of all the years of drug abuse and all the growth hormone and all the steroids that he took that enlarged his organs caused him to die at a premature age.
Exactly.
I think 6 months ago, I made the comment on this show and other shows that Jeff Hardy had two ways to go from here. He was A, going to end up in jail, or he was B, going to end up dead. He's not on a very good road right now.
And like I say, he's now got a family and a kid, right, and a wife, right? And you don't want your family growing up without a father. And pro wrestling, in terms of a job, has a short-term feel to it.
True.
And I would rather go away for two years and go get myself clean than spend the next 6 months wrestling and then die.
Well, you know, I think the main thing coming from last night should be that Jeff Hardy needs help. You know, I don't want to see the guy die. I don't want to see anything bad happen to him. I think going to jail would be the perfect thing for him because it would give him, you know, time to straighten his life out. Maybe he could go and obviously, with him being a former employee of the WWE, I mean, they automatically give you that right to go into rehab and they pay for it for you. What I'm afraid of is that he's going to go to court and they're finally going to have the evidence to put his ass away and he's not going to get a continuance and they're going to say, okay, we're going to sentence you at the next court date, and then Jeff Hardy's going to pull a Kurt Cobain and blow his fucking head off because he won't be able to handle the jail and he'll just kill himself. So I think measures need to be taken right now with Jeff Hardy to get this son of a bitch straightened out.
Well, I would look at his close family. I would, if I was Matt Hardy right now, I would go, look, Jeff, you're effed up, son. Go to rehab. No, like, right now you've hit rock bottom. You've walked out on pay-per-view out of your face. And no one wants to see, like, Jeff Hardy die, I think. But if he doesn't stop this addiction where you're getting high at every other pay-per-view, it's going to fuck him up in the long term. So he needs help. And be it from TNA, his family, or WWE, he needed to go to rehab because if not, it's one dark road. And I don't want to see that road with Jeff Hardy go down it because we've seen too many young wrestlers pass away due to drug use.
I agree. And I think that TNA needs to take a stance where they are doing the drug testing, but it doesn't mean shit. If you test positive, it's not a big deal in that company. And they've set a dangerous precedent with allowing Jeff Hardy to go out there and wrestle under the influence, not in great shape. And I think it obviously sets a bad message to all the employees of that company or people that you bring into that company that it's okay to do that. And you're going to end up with another situation like you had last night, which put a black eye on professional wrestling. So something in that company needs to be done. I think somebody's ass needs to be getting fired. I think that heads need to roll in the TNA corporate office. And they need to figure out how to fucking roll. Because something's wrong.
Drug testing within TNA, when done, they literally don't do anything to you if you're caught. I can't remember, I believe it was a figure for Wiggly. The last time they did a drug test, three wrestlers were found guilty and only one was punished, and his punishment was being jobbed on house shows. Is that really, really a punishment?
That's why this is not a wrestling really. Company. It's just a place for people to go get a paycheck.
You know, that's a sad thing because recently I've been trying to defend TNA, but when you see Jeff Hardy walk out like that on pay-per-view as a wrestling fan and as a fan of Jeff Hardy, it's really, really hard to defend him.
And, you know, and seriously, here's the thing. We can sit here and we can talk about how Jeff Hardy's a dumbass and how he's got problems and how bad it was for him to do that, but you really have to levy the blame at TNA management. The ones who said, hey, Jeff, yeah, go ahead out to the ring. We'll try and figure out how to salvage this, knowing that he was in that state of mind. I mean, again, you have to be able to sit back and say, you know what? TNA is at fault, too. You can't just blame Jeff Hardy because they've been enablers for him. They've allowed him to do the things that he's done, and that's where we are.
And I think you hit the nail on the head earlier. They could have easily reshuffled the card. They could have had Jeff Hardy, like, literally be taken out backstage, injured, so he couldn't make the match. And then you have Anderson and RVD take on Sting in a triple threat match. That would have actually made sense, and didn't, their match went to a no contest. Like, and that could be a way to take Jeff Hardy off TV, just have him beaten up backstage badly by an unknown attacker, and that gets him off TV, and it puts the two face guys who in hindsight, would be a better choice than Jeff Hardy in the main event.
No, I agree. Anything other than that, Crowley?
Not really. tune in to Unplugged as I will announce our guests for this week. No, sorry, for next week and the week after. This week we got Lauren Mayhew to promote her new song and a new movie she's in. So I'll speak to you on Friday, JD and Trey. Happy times.
Trey, are you still with us?
Do you want to go?
No, he's not.
No, he's there.
I'm here.
Well, I'll see you boys later on. Peace.
All right, so I don't really have anything else to say on TNA. There's nothing else to say. I think we've said everything that needs to be said.
I liked a bit of fly in that locker room last night when Sting came back through the curtain.
Well, he was pissed before he went through the curtain.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I would have loved to have had the exclusive audio from backstage of what went down, you know, what the initial thought was. I just feel like you had the same storyline that you had back at, what was it, the pay-per-view before Bound for Glory, No Surrender, between Hardy and Kurt Angle, where they didn't have a finish, they didn't have a number one contender, and they spruced things up and, you know, made it to where you had the match of Bound for Glory where Jeff Hardy turned on Kurt Angle and Anderson. And, you know, again, you're recycling storylines that aren't even 6 months old. I mean, does anybody else have a problem with that? I mean, I understand that you recycle from wrestling, but do I need to see the fucking thing that you just got finished doing a couple months ago on the program? And then to be put in a situation where you let a guy go out there like that and you don't make any kind of thing. I was surprised when I heard that there was no winner in the number one contenders match. Made no sense to me. It's like, why would you do that? You know, you could have easily said, all right, well, we're going to make this a triple threat and brought those guys down, and you still could have had Sting retain. Or, here's a thought. Here's something out of left field. Maybe you could have went with the original idea that should have been the original idea, having Anderson join Immortal. We've all seen Anderson attack Sting. We've all seen Anderson act more like an asshole than a face. So why not put him in that role where he is the champion of Immortal, where he's the champion, where he's the one that screws everybody over? I mean, that would have been a much better basis to go on. I would have even thought you should have had Anderson beat Jeff Hardy and then Immortal come out and beat the fuck out of Jeff Hardy. I really think that he escaped lightly last night. If it were me and it were old school booking mentality, I'd have had every motherfucker in that locker room come out and fucking blanket party his ass right in the middle of the fucking ring. Beat the living fuck out of his stupid ass. But that's just me, because I'm an asshole.
I agree. There's nothing I can do to defend it, you know.
You know what? Here's the perfect line in the chat room right now. Flair 16 time. If they had changed it, people would have still bitched about it. Get a job with TNA, dude. Seriously. Call Dixie and beg for a job. You defend this company better than they do.
He's got a point, though.
He does have a point. But would you rather have people bitched about it or fucking seen what we saw last night? It's embarrassing as a wrestling fan.
I understand where you're coming from, but to me, you know, if you come over my house and steal food out of my refrigerator and I catch you, I might let you go the first time. But if I catch you a second time, I'm going to make an example out of you. I think TNA made an example out of Jeff Hardy last night. I think his career's over with. I really do.
We will see. I doubt it. They might.
Backstage probably said, you know what? We can plug somebody in for Jeff tonight and come up with some last-minute storyline, but fuck him. I'm sick of covering for his ass because he's stoned and can't come to work like everybody else, you know, with their pants on the right way, ready to wrestle a fucking match. Fuck him. Make an example out of his stupid ass. And that's what they did.
I just think that I would have rather had people bitching about changing the finish because, you know, there is this thing called card subject to change. And yes, Flair, you're probably right. People would bitch about it. But did it ever occur to you that people bitch about TNA not because it's TNA, because they have valid fucking reasons? I do it every fucking chance I get. And I'm right in what I have to fucking say about it. I don't run down their fucking talent roster. I don't fucking say anything that's not true about that company. But for them to do what they did last night is bullshit, and they got a black eye from it. All day, my Facebook page was filling up with people that said, I'm done with TNA. I'm done with TNA. How could they do that? After last night, I'm done with TNA. I've been a supporter of TNA for a long time, but after last night, I'm done with TNA. I'm done with TNA. It's all I've heard all day from people. Are they wrong in their opinions? Are they wrong because they don't want to watch a product that's insulting to their intelligence and makes them feel embarrassed to be wrestling fans? Fuck that. Stop towing the company line and fucking realize they need help. Or they're at one step closer to the grave. If I'm lying, I'm dying. But again, I'm not saying don't watch TNA. I'm not discouraging anybody from going out and watching TNA. I don't give a fuck if you do or you don't. It's not my call. I don't care. But as a wrestling fan, as that 8-year-old wrestling fan who still watches at my age, I'm embarrassed for everybody that laced a boot in that company. I'm embarrassed for every damn one of them because of the people that they choose to have working for the company that make them look bad, whether it's Vince Russo and the rest of the booking committee, whether it's Jeff Hardy and his doped up fucking friends. It's embarrassing. And until TNA gets rid of the trash and the filth that inhabits their locker room and management, they're never, and I mean ever, going anywhere. And if you think I'm wrong, look at the last 5 years. That company has regressed. It hasn't progressed. And that's all I'm going to say about it. I'm done. I don't fucking care. The only reason I brought it up tonight was because it was major news. Aside from that, I don't give a fuck. I just know that hardcore fans that have watched this product for years and years and jumped to defending them every chance that they get are starting to not defend them anymore. You have a few that won't get off the tit that think it's the best company in the world, but I've said nothing that's been untruthful. I've said nothing that's a blatant lie. I've done nothing but give you fact.
I like the tits.
Well, there you go.
But I'm one of them. I mean, I'm not going to try to defend it. I'm just going to let it do its own, let it be, and, you know, I'll still watch it on Thursday nights. I would just like to see them get their shit together. I'd like to see them get rid of Jeff Hardy and move on.
You know, and I'm a little pissed off about the tsunami remark.
Well.
I think that's pretty shitty.
It is, but who am I to throw stones at somebody else for saying something out of line?
It's not out of line, man. It just fucking happened on Friday. They're still having problems because of tsunamis. They're still having quakes and aftershocks. Real fucking sensitive. Especially from a human piece of trash that's fucking ruined everything he's touched in his life in the last 5 years. That's just my thoughts on Hulk Hogan. So, I'm done. Let's go ahead and talk about Raw.
I told you how to get rid of Hulk Hogan.
How's that?
Mousetraps, apparently.
Mousetraps. Well, could work. I don't know. Can we throw Hogan down a nuclear reactor? I mean, maybe that'll help. I don't know.
Possibly.
Oh, is that distasteful? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be so distasteful to Hulk Hogan. I don't know what came over me. Let's go to the phone lines. Joining us right now, welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Get ready to bow your heads and put a dollar in the collection plate because the Pope is in the house.
The Pope is in the hizzy for shizzy. I don't think we need to be saved. I think the TNA needs to be saved.
That's what the night's sermon is about, man. It's about Jeffrey Hardy. You might as well get ready because I have been prepared for this one. Brothers, we are here once again gathered for another sermon. And tonight's topic is about Jeffrey, Nero, Guido, whatever you want to call him, Hardy. Now you want to talk about somebody doing drugs to fucking up their life. You can say, Pope doesn't know what he's talking about this situation. But here's the fact. I know what I'm talking about. You can ask anyone that is a permanent, that's been a long-time listener of this show, that I used to call into this show hot as a fucking kite some night. Well, not some night, all night. And I know how drugs can mess up your life. Now, everyone can say Jeff Hardy's the victim here, TNA's the victim here. But no, neither one of them's the victim. I'm going to let y'all all know right now, brothers and sisters, who's the real victim in this situation. And it's Jeff Hardy's daughter. I don't know if the girl, how old she is up there. I wouldn't even say she's a year old yet. And she's going to have to put up with all this shit for the rest of her life for what her dumbass father did. He'd rather do drugs than be there for her in her life. He's going to jail. If he goes to jail, he's not going to be there. But at least he has a chance of coming back and trying to make up for some of the stuff he's done. But if he dies on the street, he dies, overdoses on drugs, she's not going to have a father. And I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, that's not something I would wish on my worst enemy. Because I grew up without a father. And that's why I turned to the streets at a young age, because I had no one there to teach me that. And I could ask Deacon Sexay over there. He wouldn't want his daughters growing up without a father. So why would Jeff Hardy be so selfish to let his daughter, give his daughter the possibility of not growing up without one? What Jeff Hardy needs to do is he needs to go to jail. That is the best thing for him right now. Because if he goes to jail, it's getting him away from the dope. It's giving him a chance to get his life together. And brothers and sisters, I'm also going to say this about Hulk Hogan and his comments about the Japan tsunami. It is completely tasteless what he said. I don't want to know the truth because I haven't seen the live show. And I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to, because I said I'm going to boycott. But if he did say this, he ought to be absolutely ashamed of himself, because of all the people who lost their lives over this. And it's just not right that you go around saying stuff about Immortal is the biggest tsunami in professional wrestling right now. Immortal is nothing. Immortal works for a company that's works for a company that's the owner in a fucked up direction. I guarantee you, if TNA had half of mine, they would get rid of Hulk Hogan, get rid of Immortal, and half the people in Immortal would be on the street looking for a job right now. And that's all I have to say tonight, brothers and sisters. And that was the gospel according to the Pope.
Amen, brothers and sisters. Amen.
Just about.
On a side note, did anybody else enjoy the fucking blow-up doll on TNA last night?
That was mine.
That was yours? Did Bubba steal it from you?
That was the teeth.
Okay. Gotcha. Thought that was awesome. Hope Sting's religion doesn't discriminate against sex dolls, because, you know, I would hate to think he's a hypocrite or anything. Anyway, good job, Trentavious. Anything else, man, before we let you go?
Nah, that's it, man.
All right, brother. We'll talk at you later.
The Pope has spoken.
Now, let's go ahead and talk a little bit of Raw before we hit this last break and then finish up with some emails. Start the show off, of course, with a satellite segment, because The Rock brings it via satellite. Does a good job bringing it via satellite every week. I'm glad to know that, you know, he does bring it via satellite. I mean, that's a step up from Mike Siciliano, who brings it via Skype. So at least he's a little more technologically advanced. But
I don't know, that's that hard to pull off.
The funny thing here is that we get Rock basically having, finally, a one-on-one with John Cena. He's a little shorter than I remembered, honestly.
Yeah.
But a very good segment with John Cena. I couldn't believe that the Rock owned him like he was a kid.
I laughed.
I laughed till I stopped.
I giggled for a second.
There you go. I always love that on the movie previews. I laughed till I stopped. Kind of, you know, segment went a little long. Didn't think it was that great, but, you know, it is what it is. It's The Rock on Raw, only not on Raw. But, hey, at least he's here every week, whether it's satellite or not.
He'll never leave us again.
That's right. As long as he shows up on the TV, he's not leaving us. Let's see. Anything interesting happen on Raw tonight? Well, Snooki was the guest host. And Snooki got involved in a match. And Snooki
slapped the shit out of Vicky Guerrero twice.
Slapped the shit out of Vicky. She actually did a Thez press better than Trish Stratus, believe it or not. Couldn't believe it. Definitely see the ring rust on Trish. We had a match confirmed. A six-person tag pitting Lay Cool and Dolph Ziggler against Trish, Snooki, and John Morrison. That one's interesting, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a U.S. title match tonight. Sheamus has dropped the moniker of King Sheamus. He apparently has decided that name has prevented him from winning anything, because really, since he won the King of the Ring, he hasn't won any matches, really. So it's good to know that the name King is what destroys your credibility as a wrestler. I kind of feel like it was a waste to give him the King of the Ring when you could have given it to John Morrison and pushed him to the moon with it. But instead, you give it to Sheamus. You hype a buildup between him and Triple H that never happens. Instead, Triple H moves on to The Undertaker. So Sheamus, going back to the Celtic Warrior, has a great match with Daniel Bryan tonight and becomes the new United States Champion. Because, of course, if he hadn't, he would have had to retire, leave the business. He'd been done.
Retire.
So, new U.S. Champion on tonight's episode. Let's see, what else happened that was of interest? Oh, Jim Ross came back. And, hey, Brian Christopher came back. Grandmaster Sexay, my namesake.
In a segment where I guess nobody in the back likes Jerry Lawler or Jim Ross because they decided to let fucking Jack Swagger have his way.
You know, the funny thing with Grandmaster Sexay, Brian Lawler coming down, I think a lot of people didn't know who he was, to be honest with you.
Oh, that was hilarious.
You know, he comes down, he's gained a lot of weight. He has changed his look up. He now has blonde hair. He attempted to dance to the Too Cool music.
I thought he did all right.
Not what he used to. And, of course, Michael Cole announces him as the son of Jerry Lawler, who used to work for the company. And we see more of a soap opera-esque family struggle going on, as he says he was ashamed of his dad. That's why he never took the name of Lawler. And then, of course, we have Jim Ross. We hear Boomer Sooner, and the crowd pops. Biggest pop of the night was probably Jim Ross coming down. And in true Jim Ross fashion, he gets his ass kicked, thanks to Jack Swagger and Michael Cole. Awesome segment. But, hey,
oh, yeah.
It was nice to see JR come back.
It was good to see JR come back. I admit, I was standing in the bathroom when his music hit, and I went, oh, shit.
So we're obviously setting things up as Michael Cole actually locks on the Michael Cole patented ankle lock to Jerry the King Lawler. And I thought it was funny that Cole had his own little bulletproof ringside area where he could sit in the box and not have to worry about being attacked by Jerry the King Lawler. That was kind of funny. It reminded me of something Vince Russo used to do in the WCW.
That's going to get old soon, man.
Oh, yeah. It's going to get old real quick. Once this is all over, I'll be glad. We saw John Cena have a match with Alberto Del Rio as the general manager basically said that Miz would face someone he's never faced and John Cena would face someone he's never faced. And, of course, we ended up seeing the Miz take on the Punjabi Playboy, the Great Khali, and brutalize the Great Khali. Beat the shit out of the Great Khali with a fucking chair.
Fucked him up, did he?
Fucked him up. You could see him cut open in the back, and I thought, wow, Miz has arrived. This guy has shown his aggressive side. He's showing that he is ready to prove that he is the man in this company. And just by taking it to the limit he did with the Great Khali, fantastic. You can't say this guy's not deserving of his spot. So, of course, the main event. Oh, we did see CM Punk take on, or excuse me, we saw Randy Orton take on CM Punk's latest flunky, Mason Ryan, or Baby Batista, as he's likely called. The stipulation, of course, if Baby Batista wins the match, he can accompany CM Punk to ringside at WrestleMania. Of course, we see a nice, well-placed RKO by Randy Orton taking Mason Ryan out, and we see the punt kick to the head, eliminating yet another member of the new Nexus. So it will be a one-on-one match between CM Punk and Randy Orton at WrestleMania. I'm actually digging the build for that. Looking forward to that match. So in the main event, we see John Cena and Alberto Del Rio. Of course, Del Rio accompanied by the former G-Rilla, Brodus Clay, former bodyguard of Snoop Dogg, as they made various mentions all through the night. Very good match back and forth. Until we hear The Rock's music hit. Only, ladies and gentlemen, it's not The Rock. No, no. It's better than that. It's The Mock. It's The Miz. Wearing a skull cap, painted up, looking like The Rock, wearing an I Bring It shirt, attacking John Cena, pretty much having his way with him. And he got a huge pop, too.
I got a kick out of The Miz's bald cap at first. Did he really shave his head? You could tell it was a cap.
No, they did a good job on the makeup. real good job on the makeup. And I can't remember the finish of the match because I think at that point I was getting ready to get the show going on. So I missed the complete finish of the John Cena Del Rio match. So hopefully somebody knows what happened because I don't.
I was en route to work, so I have no idea.
Well, see, we're both screwed then, huh?
Yeah.
But, you know, if I had to give it a grade tonight, I'd say probably a B+. Wasn't a bad show.
I'd say a C+.
Yeah. Wasn't a bad show, I didn't think. They're building to WrestleMania. Some new things have happened. We're seeing the intensity from The Miz. He's tired of being taken for granted and being the third man in this whole thing. And he's starting to shift his focus back into, I'm the fucking champion. You guys need to pay attention to me. So I think that was important for them to establish tonight. We see a direction for obviously Sheamus, who's probably going to defend that title at WrestleMania against Daniel Bryan. Very good matchup between those two. The finish was awesome with Bryan coming off the top rope, going for, I believe, a drop kick. And, of course, the brogue kick. Very reminiscent of when Shawn Michaels hit the super kick on Shelton Benjamin back in 05.
Oh, yeah.
Real solid bump. So,
no, I'll change my letter grade to a B, from a C+ to a B, just because the entertainment value with celebrities we had on there, like Trish and Snooki and JR coming back.
Like I said, I wasn't real big on Snooki coming in, and I'm not real big on her being at WrestleMania now. But, you know, it is what it is, right?
It has to be, because it can't be anything else.
That's true. So that was your Raw recap for tonight. Like I said, we're just going to cover the basics of the show. There's no need to go back and recap it because, hey, you guys have already seen the show. So we just want to hit on a couple highlights and what we thought. That's what it's all about. So with that being said, we're going to take our final commercial break, maybe take a phone call or two, read the emails, and we're getting the fuck out of Dodge because it's been a long night.
Sounds good to me, brother.
So continue listening right here, Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. We'll be right back, guys, right after this.
This is Christopher Daniels, and the gospel according to the Fallen Angels says that you are listening to the SNS Radio Network.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and, of course, some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
Hey, you.
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Have you checked out the new Unplugged on Friday nights? Well, if you haven't, make sure you check out the new Unplugged Friday nights with JJ Sexay at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, where JJ covers SmackDown, video games, and whatever the hell else he feels like. See you in chat.
This is Jeff Jarrett, the King of the Mountain, and I'm on planet Jarrett right now, listening to Wrestling News Live.
Not getting enough TNA wrestling? It's time to join TNAOnDemand.com. The place to access over 300 hours of classic TNA programming. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. TNAOnDemand.com is the ultimate resource for pay-per-views and exclusive TNA programming. Log on to gain instant access to every TNA DVD ever released. Go to TNAOnDemand.com to get started right now.
These aren't dolls, and they're certainly not teddy bears. TNA Wrestling presents the Deluxe Impact Series 3. Kevin Nash, Jay Lethal, Velvet Sky, Matt Morgan, Shark Boy, and the Icon, Sting. Collect them all so you can book your own dream matches. Action figures so detailed, you'll think your favorite TNA superstar is in the room next to you. TNA Wrestling and Jack's Pacific present the Deluxe Impact Series 3. Action so close you can touch it.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
The following is a public service announcement from Wrestling News Live.
Reasons not to marry a porn star.
Did you hear the news that Tito Ortiz was arrested for domestically abusing his girlfriend, Jenna Jameson?
No, he probably tried to fuck her, and it was like throwing a hot dog down a hallway, and he just said, "What the fuck? Where'd you been?" Slap.
That reminds me of the quote from Triple H a couple years back when he said, you know, even a 747 looks small flying in the Grand Canyon.
I mean, how could you, in all honesty, be a person not in the porn industry, married to a porn star, and be okay with it?
You know what? I'd have a serious problem with that.
I mean, let's say she's got an early shoot. She gets up, she washes her pussy, and goes to work. Then you wake up, and while you're eating pancakes, she's fucking somebody else. While you walk to the mailbox to get the mail, she's fucking somebody else. When you come inside and turn on the TV and have a cup of tea, she's fucking somebody else. Then she's having lunch while you're taking a nap in your lazy boy. She comes back from lunch and punches in and starts fucking somebody else. Then she comes home. You tell the bitch that you want dinner. She makes you something in the microwave and goes to bed. And you're jacking off because she spent all day fucking somebody else.
You're having tea. She's getting teabagged.
Oh, I love this show.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by the good folks at Wrestling News Live.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Focus, get up, don't get up, I'll never let up.
Guys, we're back right here, Wrestling News Live, the SNS Radio Network.
I'll cheat on you too.
That's something that I did miss this week in the news, something we could bring up now. Apparent rumors are running rampant that one Drew McIntyre, the chosen one, might not have been with his chosen one in Taryn Terrell, the former Tiffany. In fact, there might be a little infidelity going on, as he may have cheated on Taryn Terrell. There was a mysterious Twitter pic that came out where I guess she was talking to Chavo and said that she really loved him and thanks for helping break up a marriage. Interesting turn of events. I've heard nothing since. So take what you will. It's a rumor ingrained in the IWC. I have no fact to back it up, and I don't choose to. But according to our good friend Chris Kelly, the fucking foreign kid Krelly, headlocks2headlines.com, she has deleted her account. So we'll see what happens from it.
Out of time. So say goodbye. Your pussy is yours. Her pussy is mine.
I smell another fucking... She's fucking somebody else. I guess it'd be he's fucking somebody else.
Yeah, he's fucking somebody else.
You go to your Twitter and he's fucking somebody else.
That's right.
Chavo's at the gym and he's fucking somebody else.
LeSabre, it's funny you should ask, will the Click and a DX reunion happen at WrestleMania? Well, we have it from one of the horse's mouths. No.
A partial
one Click. One member says he won't be there, but he might still show up.
We might have a partial Click reunion, as we know Waltman and Big Kev are going to have a party.
How cool would it be to be there?
Yeah, it'd be pretty damn cool, man. Pretty damn cool, I'd have to admit.
Next week, right here, Wrestling News Live, 1 hour with one bad guy, Scott Hall.
Hey, yo. Did everybody come here to listen to Wrestling News Live? Or did everybody come here to listen to the bad guy?
Well, the bad guy takes up most of your Wrestling News Live, so.
One more for the good guys.
Ooh.
It's unfortunate we didn't get to have survey time with Scott Hall. That would have been awesome.
We might before it's all over with.
That's true. That's true. We'll get him back on. But with that said, I'm going to switch things to some emails. We've got some things to cover before we go any further. Might take a call or two, but we're talking like quick limits on the calls because we ran way over time tonight with Animal. I wasn't expecting to run this late. But, you know, we had a great interview with Animal, so I wasn't going to stop it, right? So with that said, let's go ahead and jump into these emails.
I got mail! Yay! I got mail! Yay!
Of course you have an email, you idiot! Just read it!
Alright, this one comes to us. This first one comes to us from TM Bronx. This is not the email I wanted to write tonight. I was prepared to write an email talking about how good I thought Victory Road was. Thought the matches were good. And for a show it seemed to be put together in 1 week, I was very entertained. As always with TNA, however, there is an asterisk at the end. The asterisk is Jeff motherfucking Hardy. This is the second fucking pay-per-view that this junkie cocksucker has ruined. Just like O.J. Simpson will be remembered as a killer, and Nixon will only be remembered for Watergate, this pay-per-view will have all of its other matches forgotten, matches I thought were very good. Everyone on their card busted their ass last night. Anyone who says TNA doesn't have great performers is a fool. Now, I'm not a fucking prude. I like my beer, maybe a shot or two. And I've been known to partake in the occasional joint. But I don't go to my fucking job. I don't stumble around town like a fucking junkie. Because I have pride in myself. Jeff Hardy is a disgrace to all wrestlers, living and dead. He's a disgrace to professional athletes. And above all, a disgrace to his family. How will he explain to his little girl his condition last night when she grows up and views old TNA tapes? TNA has let this happen twice. This motherfucker ruined the main event. He has no respect for Sting, a guy I put in my top 10 of all time. Every wrestler in the TNA locker room should refuse to work until this man is fired. I was all prepared to have a friendly debate with JJ, defending Victory Road. I cannot, in good conscience, do that now. Thanks for ruining the pay-per-view for the fans, both in the arena and out, you junky piece of shit. Thanks for making Sting look like shit. That punch to Eric douchebag Bischoff looked pretty stiff. Good for Sting. I hope it hurt. You Hulk Hogan blowjob giving bitch. So sadly, I have made a decision. I've been a TNA watcher since its debut on Spike. With a sad heart, I'm announcing that I will no longer watch or support TNA as long as Jeff Hardy is employed there. I won't have another pay-per-view ruined for me, and I will not sound like an asshole for supporting a company that has a raging drug addict in its employ. And if the day comes that Hardy goes to jail, gets fired, or drops the fuck dead, I will resume watching the product. I can barely type this. I'm so fucking angry. Eat shit and die, Jeff Hardy. I hope karma spares your family and your little girl, but fucks you over royally. You deserve nothing you have been given. The continued employment of this man proves that Dixie Carter is in fact a fucking imbecile who should not be running a wrestling company. I'll find something else to watch on Thursdays. I'm done. TM Bronx. And that comes from a TNA fan, ladies and gentlemen. That, Dixie Carter and TNA, is what you are losing. Your diehard fans. People that have supported you through thick and thin. I've already made my stance on it. Now we've got another. Could there be more? Let's dip into the mailbag and find out. This next one comes to us from Big Daddy Slim.
It had to be Big Daddy and be Slim.
True that. WWE Hall of Fame. Oh, that's right. Tonight they inducted, they're going to be announcing that they're going to induct Drew Carey into the Hall of Fame. I know there's a lot of people out there with butthurt over this, but come on. They do celebrities every fucking year.
Yeah.
You know, if Bob Uecker can be inducted into WrestleMania, I mean, like, into the Hall of Fame, then why the fuck can't Drew Carey? Anyway, on to the email. Hey, JJ and Trey. Hope you guys are doing well. Another great show last week, as usual. Just wanted to get your thoughts on this year's Hall of Fame. Am I alone, or does the class of 2011, excluding Michaels, absolutely suck? They started with Shawn Michaels, and then it went to shit. Bob Armstrong, Sonny. Now I hear Drew Carey. What the fuck is a Drew Carey? On a side note, I heard your guys' argument last week concerning TNA. JJ, I know talking about TNA is like molesting a dead horse. I also gave up on TNA a few months ago, the day they decided to put the strap on that crackhead bitch, Jeff Hardy. Was the day I stopped watching TNA. There's a pattern going here. I don't know what it is, but there's a pattern. In my opinion, and it's just my opinion, as a longtime wrestling fan, when you put the top title on someone, you're basically saying that you're the man that represents this company. When they put it on Hardy, they prove to me that they don't care about their company image. If you have that little respect for your own company, why should I have any respect for your company? I agree with you guys that TNA's downfall has nothing to do with the talent, but with the company itself. But, Trey, I do agree with you as well, because at the end of the day, it is another TV show. Problem is, you have a great cast, but shitty writers. Always listening. Thank you for making the days go by a little faster. Big Daddy Slim. Good email.
Big Daddy.
Let's see. Next up, thoughts on WrestleMania 27.
Oh, here we go.
This could be good.
Somehow, I still feel like Jeff Hardy is a crackhead bitch will be working on his email.
And this one, I believe, comes to us from the Comic Pimp. So we have the Pope, the Pimp of Wrestling News Live, and now we have the Comic Pimp. He beats his bitches up and he laughs about it. I don't know. Tells jokes. I don't know. What's up with that? Dear Trey and JJ, what up, bitches? My name is the Comic Pimp.
What up, bitches?
I have been an archive listener for 8 years now. Love your show, and Trey makes me laugh out loud.
I'm looking for him.
That's true. Before I talk wrestling, allow me to say to all the fucking player haters, if you don't like WNL, if Trey and JJ piss you off and you need to run your mouths, I will find your wives and fuck them in the ass because that's how I roll.
Damn.
He's hardcore. He's a comic
fan. He's a hardcore comic fan.
My thoughts on tonight's Raw. I give it an A. The Snooki segment was awesome. I enjoyed Vicky getting the taste slapped out of her mouth by my girl. And so this is a fuck you to TNA. Snooki in WrestleMania 27. The other washed-up whore, yes, Angelina, your bottom-feeding, good-for-nothing, dried-up, STD-infected whore, who most likely sucked the cock to get into TNA. Boo-boo, Angelina, go back to the crack house and go away. I thought the cool WJR King segment was overkill. They bring Brian back for what? To talk shit on his dad. And they bring out JR for what? So he can get his ankle snapped like a chicken wing? As a blind fan makes a wish, I was deaf. I hate his voice, and I hope that King breaks his fucking jaw at WrestleMania 27. I also wish Mikey Cole, or Michael Cole, would have brought back the cat to talk shit about Jerry. That's what I actually thought when he said he had somebody from Jerry's past. I thought, oh, God, if he brings Stacy Carter out there, it's going to be fucking nuts.
Oh, no.
Because that would have been rough right there. I did love the opening segment with The Rock. I thought this should be the new advertisement for Fruity Pebbles, and that kid killed it. And can we please have the HBK shit on the Undertaker match stop? Like, what does it bring to the table? I'm not sure if you guys read comic books. However, TNA and Comic Book Shave have this in common. They suffer from people writing that have no clue how to write them or wrestle or wrestling. They was cool the first time around. The second, they have nothing to do with Nash and Booker, take Vince's money, got new action figures, and dye their hair, so they need a plan B. However, instead of trying something new or different, they did all the they thing again. Just this time, it was fortune going face, and for a show that goes head-to-head with the Jersey Shore, why ain't Robbie E X Division champion? Okay, you cool badass motherfuckers, keep up the wrestling radio show that reeks of awesomeness, and keep the foregone fuck away, the foreign kid, keep him the fuck away. His voice makes me want to bitch slap him or get laid. Now make my money, bitches, the comic pimp. Damn. Some Crelly hate. Crelly hate. What's up with that?
Some Crelly hate? Don't be hating on the show or you're going to get your last butt fucked.
I ain't never had nobody threaten my enemies with butt fucking. That's
well,
awesome.
You stop doing whatever the fuck you're doing.
That's awesome. Nothing like sodomy to make that happen. All right. On to our final email of the night. This one comes to us from our good friend DJ. How can I really start this? Fuck you, Jeff Hardy. I was enjoying that pay-per-view and the only person who had to go and fuck it all up. Some of these matches were pretty damn good. I ain't going to lie. I'm a fan of wrestling all around. Hell, I watch Ring of Honor and enjoy it. But come on, TNA, get rid of this fucking guy. As for WWE, good Raw, got to see Trish and the continued segment of Rock and Cena that's going nowhere, in my opinion. I mean, seriously, let's get these two clowns to wrestle at SummerSlam or something. It'll bring in dollars, just like Snooki at WrestleMania. And Vicky and Playboy is not a bad idea, just saying. Keep up the great work, Trey and JJ. Huh? And the Pope. Great interview tonight, guys.
I want to see Snooki versus Rey Mysterio.
No, they're about the same size. Only Snooker's a lot wide. Snooki is a lot wider than Rey Mysterio.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I think so. So with that said...
What's up, motherfucking Crowley hate?
Hey, we didn't say it. We read an email. Blame the comic pimp. He didn't like you.
I will. Don't worry.
Oh, Crowley's back. What?
Yeah, I will blame him. What was that? Anyway, I'll turn to being quiet.
All right, Crowley. Later. So on that note, I don't have a song of the night, so if somebody wants to suggest one, now's the time to do so. If you want to call in and make a quick phone call.
Huey Lewis, I want a new drug.
Yes. Yes. That is the perfect song. I will totally grab that.
That's what she said.
And she did.
Before a comic pimp came over and butt
Look at that. I put in Huey and YouTube, and the first thing that pops up, Huey Lewis and the News, I want a new drug.
I used to say Jeff Hardy.
That's right. You know what, man? I love Huey Lewis, man. Like,
I love you.
What?
I love you for all your negativity you bring.
I'm speaking the truth, man.
I know that I didn't feel good tonight, and I didn't have to do shit for this show but turn on your microphone and let you go do your thing.
And I did.
I know. I knew you would.
It's what I do, man.
Of course, I got that interview already for next week, so we're good to go there. Scratch one off the bucket list.
Cocaine.
No, that's not what Hardy was on.
We don't know what he was on, but...
I know he wasn't on cocaine. Trust me. From a man who snorts a lot of cocaine back in the day, that wasn't cocaine he was on last night.
Well, if you had to make a guess, what would you say it was?
Some kind of a hallucinogenic drug. You know, not cocaine.
You know what, though? I love the fact that he tried to go out and be a face. That was awesome. You know, he, like, totally...
pandering to the crowd and, like high-fiving the crowd. And then he turned around and stumbled into the ring on the steps.
It's like, hey, Jeff, you're supposed to be the fucking heel here, you dipshit. Duh.
Well, that makes me feel like I feel when I'm with you. I want a new drug.
Well, he does. On that note, I think it's time to wrap this show. We went longer than I planned tonight.
Now, when I did shrooms, I just went around chasing what I thought were dinosaurs in a big empty field.
Was that fun?
It was. It was on my 21st birthday.
Did you smoke anything out of Barney's ass?
Didn't smoke anything, no. No. Okay. Went, smoked some cigarettes, went to a titty bar, went back to a friend's apartment, ate some shrooms, and then went back out to the Indian graveyard and sat outside in a wide open field and could have swore I was in Jurassic Park. I like the wind. I like the trees.
Now
I like the dinosaurs.
Before we actually head out of here, you know, the interview with Animal tonight was very informative, and he brought up the fact that, you know, they had the match, and of course, Hawk was a little drunk, a little under the weather, a little under the influence. I'm not going to defend that, and I'm not going to say that, you know, it doesn't happen in professional wrestling. But I will say that the time is different now than it was then. You know, you had a roster complete. I mean, the roster back in those days was so much more massive. And when you think about it, there weren't guaranteed contracts at the time. And granted, it wasn't right that they went out and did that. But at the same time, you have to remember that in that time period, those guys were wrestling close to 365 days a year. They were coming off show after show after show. So the fact that he would be hooked on something and come out stoned or drunk makes sense because, again, their body was on the line a lot more than it is today. I mean, whether you guys realize it or not, the business is completely different. It's not what it used to be. TNA is a company where they work, what, a couple days a month? I mean, shit, they just did all the Impact tapings. In the next couple of days, they're doing 3 weeks' worth of tapings. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so you might work a total of maybe 10 days a month in TNA wrestling. WWE, you're not working near the schedule you worked 20 years ago. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying. It's a different time, and it's a different era. And Hawk was never exactly the main event champion of any promotion that he was in. He was always a tag team champion. That plays a big factor in things, too. Oh, I stand corrected. And Flair would know. They work every weekend now. My bad. I just go off the company line. Oh, we only work a couple days a month. Kurt Angle was on the show, said he didn't work that much in a month. Did he not, Trey?
Well, this is something they just started doing.
So, my bad. Thanks for keeping me on my toes. If anybody can do it, it's Flair.
Well, they don't all work. I mean, there's like an A group, B group, a C group.
Whatever, some guys only work the house shows.
JJ, what's going on with the Coscast?
Same thing's been going on with it forever. It's every Tuesday.
No, Murder One, the chat room wanted to know.
Every Tuesday at 10:30 Eastern. Tomorrow night, I have got confirmation from Charles Shane that we will have Marcus Stevenson. So unless somebody dies tomorrow or something major happens, we have him scheduled to join us for a little over an hour tomorrow night. So definitely check in with us. We're going to talk some All-Stars. Then don't forget, Wednesday night, Pro Wrestling Rewind's back. You get to hear the Power Andy Knowles and Mike Siciliano break down what they think of TNA and, of course, the build-up for WrestleMania and whatever else those guys want to talk about. Now, keep in mind that we at the SNS Radio Network don't always endorse the views made by either host of the Pro Wrestling Rewind, but everybody is entitled to their opinions. We got anything going on Thursday, Trey?
Not now that I blew my mixer board.
Yeah, for those of you who didn't know, Trey blew his mixer board. So
blew it.
Like smoke. Boom. Smoke came out. It was blown up. So, and then, of course, Friday on Unplugged, 10:30 Eastern, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time. I'm back with the fucking foreign kid. We're going to have Lauren Mayhew stop by. Let us know what's going on in her life. I believe she has a movie to promote. She's got a new song, a new album coming out. So we'll spend a little time talking to her. Of course, I'll review SmackDown. And then we'll have gaming news with the sensational sequel. But that, in a nutshell, is the week of live programming. And then on Saturday, we'll have another episode of Running the Ropes archived. If you haven't checked out the show, do so. The last episode had the fucking foreign kid co-hosting with Maverick. Definitely check the show out. So that concludes the week on the SNS Radio Network. And with that said, I'm going to kick it over to JSK and then to Huey Lewis. Because, ladies and gentlemen, He wants a new drug. And so does Jeff Hardy. Any final words, Trey?
No, man, I'm good.
Pass, motherfucker.
Cool. With that being said, thank you very much for listening to the show. Thanks for everybody that participates in the forum boards, and thanks for everybody participating in the chat room. Until next week, peace, 420, kiss my ass. Good night, white people. I'm out.
I feel the wind, I feel the trees, I miss my dog, I wrestle the main event. I need to call a drug dealer. I need me some new drugs. Some cocaine, some heroin, some marijuana, some meth. I wonder if I get married if my wife can testify against me. I tell you what, that fucking JJ Sexay is a motherfucker. I'm gonna kick his ass. I'm gonna make him a motherfucking superstar.
In the air, and I will deploy my ordnance to the ground. I'm an F-18, bro.
Yeah, but you're not a warlock like me, so you don't understand what he's talking about.
Winning.